And we had good for joining us. We're going to get back to our school construction funding hearings, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Next up, we have Cecil County. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Cobb, and Comptroller Franchot. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm Diane Devine, Superintendent of the Cecil County Public Schools, and with me is Mr. Perry Willis, our Executive Director for Support Services. Our manager of school construction is currently still driving around looking for a parking spot.
That's a difficulty of Annapolis.
So on behalf of the Board of Education of Cecil County, we submit these comments to you in support of our fiscal year 2018 capital improvement plan. We do want to say how much we appreciate your continued efforts to help those of us, particularly in low-wealth counties. The following projects that I'm about to mention either received partial funding or no approval in the second round. So we would like to make an appeal for each one of those to decrease our ever-increasing deferred maintenance list. The first project, we are very appreciative of the current funding for the replacement of our Gilpin Manor Elementary School, a school that had been on our CIP for 10 years. Finally, we do have significant county support for our capital program, and so we are asking that the additional $1 million be allocated to this project so that we can continue the project and keep the cash flow and project on schedule. The Conowingo Elementary School Boiler Project, these are two boilers of unequal size, one installed in 2006, but the other in 1992. We want to replace the older one so it's a better match with the boiler installed in 2006. So we ask for $187,000 to do so. The Providence School is a single-story school, and it was the original section of the roof was built in 1923 and subsequently the last time in 1954. We are asking to replace that roof. Actually, it was last replaced in 1993 for a cost of $218,000. Our Rising Sun Elementary School boiler, we're asking for consideration there, once again installed in 1991 and at the end of their useful life. And we ask for the $313,000 so that this project can proceed. And so for the projects I've just mentioned, the vast majority there, other than our Gilpin Manor project, are systemic projects that we need in order to keep our schools functioning. Finally, we just ask for the permission to go ahead and use local dollars for the planning of Chesapeake City Elementary School, a school that was built in 1939. And so we wish to, again, recognize the significant commitment of the state of Maryland, Cecil County, of our local Board of Education to improving Cecil school facilities. We commend you for the financial commitment, especially we know that there are a lot of competing fiscal needs. And we do want to thank you very much for the completion of Perryville Elementary School. I know our comptroller has visited that brand new renovated school, and it's been well received by our community. And so we are, as I mentioned earlier, a low-wealth county. We do need the state support in keeping the investment into our infrastructure. And I believe that our record of 28 superior ratings in school inspections over a 10-year period speaks to how well we maintain our school facilities and the state investment in Cecil County.
I want to congratulate you on that. I mean, the 2016 maintenance report noted exceptional maintenance effort by custodial staff and excellent leadership of your building services staff. So
thank you very much.
Congratulations. I know that's something that the comptroller takes very seriously, and we love to see. So
yes, one of our schools.
Pass on that to your team.
I certainly will. They'll be most appreciative. They work very hard.
Mm-hmm. Any questions on Cecil County?
Yes, I have a question about prototypes, because I see not only do you have an excellent record of taking care of what you have, but you also have a tremendous reputation for using money efficiently to build new projects. And I guess my question is, I'm going to go up and visit Gilpin Manor Elementary School's construction site next month, and Is it correct that you're going to use that school's design as a prototype for the Chesapeake City Elementary School's
That is correct. In fact, there was a meeting as late as yesterday. What we would be doing is use the prototype of Gilpin to build this new school on the same site as our Bohemia Manor Middle and High Schools, but we will customize it for that community. So it will not look identical to Gilpin Manor, but it will have, I believe Mr. Willis told me, it's a 98% match for the prototype. And we've done this in the past in Cecil County, and we find that a great way to save money.
Well, I was just having this very conversation at lunch about how much money you can save rather than designing from scratch each school. So that's terrific that you've had that good experience with it. And you get, and they look completely different.
That's right.
It's 98% the same.
Correct.
Yeah.
Do you have a ballpark estimate of what might be saved using prototypes?
Mr. Willis, savings for the prototype?
At the current time, we're projecting
that
the...
Could you come to the podium, please?
Excuse me.
And just use yourself, please.
Okay, thank you. My name is Perry Willis. I'm the Executive Director for Support Services at Cecil County Public Schools. At the current time, given the bidding climate, we're projecting that the construction budget will come in at the state allotted funding, which could in turn be about a 20 to 25% savings probably for the prototype. So that's an estimation.
That's terrific.
We're a couple of years from bidding those, but that's the estimate.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
And can you scale, if I could just keep you there for a second, sir, can you use the prototypes even when you've got schools of different size?
Well, what we're doing right now is as Dr. Devine mentioned to you, the meeting took the education specification and looked at the function of how to deliver education in the preschool to fifth grade environment, and then we basically matched that with the Gilpin Manor design. And we felt that if we could implement the function of those and delivery of that instructional program inside that envelope. So basically we've taken that floor plan. Obviously, the sites are different. We have to do some different grading and different parking, different stormwater applications, so that's a new design. But the actual layout and floor plan will be almost identical. The outside skin we may change to accommodate what Chesapeake City's community needs, but for all intents and purposes, we saved about $400,000 in design fees.
Yeah.
And we had the same architect, obviously. We negotiated that fee early in the process. When they designed Gilpin, they gave us the fee to do Chesapeake City at the same time.
Great job.
Thank you very much.
Could I just put in a word? You know there's a task force on school construction that's sort of midway through its life on which the county executive sits, the superintendent sits, Alex from Ann Arbor. And it's clear, as you indicated, that one of the major issues that is coming up is the use of, first of all, value engineering, prototype schools where appropriate, and perhaps the delegation or devolvement of greater authority to those jurisdictions which have experience or adequate staffing and resources to do some of the work themselves under the guidance or supervision. And it seems to me that the questions that both the comptroller and the governor are asking and the answers we've heard so far all point to this sort of discretion and ways of becoming more cost efficient.
And I mentioned at the beginning of our meeting this morning while we were talking about the fact that we've only got limited dollars, and next year our debt service will surpass what we have available for school construction. And we want to build as many schools as possible, so we got, if we're not building as cost efficiently as possible, that means we're not building as many schools. So we'd rather spread those dollars to get the biggest bang for the buck by doing things like you're doing. Like to build more schools for the same money.
So I just want to follow up on what the governor mentioned with your fiscal year 16 maintenance report. It's got a sentence in it that I've never seen in any other systems report. It says the maintenance and custodial staffs do a laudable job of meticulously maintaining the conditions of their mechanical equipment and the equipment rooms that house them. So congratulations, whatever oversight.
You should get a silver hammer.
Yeah, I should get back up there with maybe a real silver hammer. Congratulations on your leadership.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next up, we have Charles County. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to all of you. Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Fresho, Treasurer Kopp. My name is Mike Lucas. I'm chairman of the Board of Education in Charles County. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce Charles County Board of Schools Superintendent Dr. Kimberly Hill, Assistant Superintendent of Supporting Services Michael Heim, Director of Planning and Construction Steve Andritz, and Supervisor of Planning and Construction Mr. Dave Clements. We thank you for the opportunity to update the Board of Public Works on our comprehensive capital improvement plan. In 2014, following the Council of the Interagency Committee on School Construction, our board contracted a facility study to provide suggestions for a 10-year capital improvement plan. The board has used the results of this study to develop long-range plans and to move Charles County Public Schools from a reactionary to a proactive mode with a clear vision for future capital projects. The plan includes some new buildings for growth, but confirms the need for an aggressive renovation schedule with programming for new capacity and special programs. 20 of our 36 schools, or 56%, are at least 30 years old. And this year's CIP includes funding for a new elementary school to address capacity needs, a renovation and expansion of one of our aging elementary schools, and two full-day kindergarten additions. The IAC and the Board of Public Works have been supportive of our efforts in Charles County, and we appreciate all that you do to help us maintain quality facilities. Already, the IAC has recommended $7 million for Charles County Public Schools. However, we are here today to ask you to consider funding the remaining $10 million of our request. On behalf of the Board of Education, we thank you for the opportunity to update you on the facilities plan, and we pledge our commitment to working with you and our local and state officials. And furthermore, we do appreciate your commitment to education and for recognizing that education is the key to the civic and economic vitality of not only Charles County, but also the state. Now, Superintendent Dr. Hill will outline more specifics of our plan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for allowing us this time to talk about the plans that we have in Charles County Public Schools. As Mr. Lucas said, our capital improvement plan blends new construction with renovations, which often includes adding capacity for students. We use our buildings for a long time. Some have been serving as schools for more than half a century. So we know we need to build and renovate structures that are built to last. Our new elementary school...
You know, we've been using this building for more than 260 years.
We were just talking about that.
We do a pretty good job of maintenance.
We were talking about what has gone on in this room and the amazing stories that must be out there. But our new elementary school addresses growth and will relieve overcrowding in seven neighboring schools in the development area of our county. We currently have an overcrowding of 541 elementary students in that section of our county. We also want to renovate Dr. Mudd Elementary School to bring that building to the same level of education and building performance as in our newest schools. The renovation and expansion supports population growth, as well as modernizing a 50-year-old facility, enhancing community use space allocated by the Judy Center, and providing classrooms for our growing special education population. During the past 5 years, Charles County Public Schools has enrolled 600 additional special education students with an increase of 200 more students this year than last year. We are the second fastest special education population in the state when it comes to growth. The needs of our special education students are outpacing our abilities to provide adequate space at schools that are a reasonable distance from students' homes. Both the new elementary school and the Dr. Mudd renovation include the addition of three specialized classrooms for regional special education programs that support students with significant disabilities. Adding regional special education programs reduces transportation costs and lengthy travel times and maximizes time for teaching and learning. Kindergarten additions are another way that we address overcrowding. These additions provide permanent space for the increase of students created when we had full-day kindergarten for all kids. And the two schools in this year's CIP funding help complete 12 of the 18 schools that we still need to complete kindergarten additions. Our facilities plan also addresses 11 Charles County school buildings with open space layouts. An innovative idea from the 1960s, open space schools take a toll, as you know, educationally and financially. Over the years, we have retrofitted many of these schools with temporary walls, but permanent solutions are necessary to eliminate distraction and noise. Two of our renovation planning requests, Stoddart Middle School and Turner Elementary, remove open space, and planning requests for a graduated renovated project at Maurice J. McDonough High School begins to close that school's open space layout. Charles County Public Schools, as you have mentioned, and I'm very jealous of the maintenance scores that Cecil County got, but we're heading in that direction. We're committed to high standards for maintenance and upkeep of our buildings. Most recently, North Point High School, which opened with state funding and approval in 2005, received a Silver Hammer Award from Comptroller Peter Franchot for posting an almost unprecedented, in his words, unprecedented score of 96 on the rigorous state inspection. Our philosophy is that safe, clean buildings are a must, and maintaining high maintenance standards saves tax dollars in the future. Our supporting services team has built a collaborative culture where planning and construction, operations, and maintenance work together to find the best, most cost-effective ways to keep our buildings in top shape. Recently, we've been standardizing purchases of equipment and maintenance materials, which ultimately saves time and money. On behalf of the 26,400 students in Charles County Public Schools, we appreciate your support of our capital improvement program, and we'll be happy to entertain any questions that you have.
Thank you very much. And you don't have much to be jealous of Cecil County about, because you receive some pretty high, excellent maintenance and excellent custodial attention to your schools, and do a great job. And
the
report also noted your high level of professionalism and pride that the school system encourages in its building services staff, and I hadn't heard that a lot. So your team is excited about what they're doing, and they're taking it seriously. And I congratulate you for maintaining these schools so well.
Thank you, Mr. Governor.
Can I ask one question? This is a great update, and I also congratulate you on it. It's a great system. Wonderful paragraph here that I'm going to be quoting about the integration of planning, building, and maintenance.
Yes, ma'am.
James Richmond Science Center, is it being used to the extent that you had hoped by the schools and the community?
By the schools, yes. By the community, honestly, we still have work to do, and we're working on that daily. But what we do programmed into our curriculum is a, I don't want to call it mandatory, but it's mandatory, field trip each year for grade-level kids to come over to the Science Center to experience that as a part of their curriculum. And we have financed that within our transportation budget to be able to provide that to all of our students for free of cost.
Well, I just thought it was brilliant. It blew me
Thank
away.
You.
I loved
Thank
it.
You.
If there's anything I can do to help you
come down and
get
see
it
us.
Better known.
Maybe
all
there should
three.
Be a mandatory trip of the Board of Public Works.
Come down and see us. Absolutely. We will work our schedules around yours.
Outstanding.
Thank you very much.
So thank you.
Take this with a grain of salt, but I notice you haven't selected a name for new elementary school number 22.
Mr. Comptroller, things were going so well.
Peter Franchot Elementary.
That's a poor decision.
Just kidding. But I did have one question about Samuel Mudd Elementary. You mentioned it. And
sure.
Apparently you put the kids in swing space while you're renovating that.
Yes, sir.
And do you find that to be effective way to complete
We
that
are
process.
Currently finishing the building of that swing space. The swing space was in existence for a renovation years ago and then was struck by lightning. And so half of the building completely burned. So this school year we are completing that swing space, and then the entire Dr. Mudd staff and students will be moved into that swing space next school year. So I can give you a better update next school year once they're moved in. But with our CIP plan, once the Mudd kids move out, then we have another set of kids who will move in after that. So we are very pleased about the thought that went into planning that space.
Excellent. And I just wanted to ask you quickly about the issue. I heard what the governor said, and I'm very sensitive to anything about what might happen, but we have had this situation with immigration, and are you prepared to protect your kids that are I'm not talking so much about the citizens who were born here. I'm talking about the kids that, through no fault of their own, are here.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm not sure whether board members know, but Charles County Public Schools is the fastest growing English language learner population in the state. So we are very sensitive to the needs of the kids as well as the families. And we don't ask questions when we enroll and educate kids. That's our goal, is to keep them safe and keep them secure. But, you know, we did have some concerns from that population recently, and we're out to protect their best interests.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to move on to Dorchester County.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, yeah. Treasurer Kopp, Dr. Salmon, and staff. I am Dr. Henry Wagner, Superintendent of Dorchester County Public Schools, and I appreciate this opportunity to speak with you this afternoon on behalf of the Board of Education, the County Council, the Dorchester delegation, and most especially the students of Dorchester County. Today, we are seeking your support for the balance of second-year construction funding in fiscal year 2018 for a critically important project, the replacement of the 62-year-old North Dorchester High School. In attendance with me today are from our Board of Education, President Glenn Bramble, Vice President Glenn Payne, from the Dorchester County Council, our county manager, Jeremy Goldman. By the way, President Travers extends his regrets that he could not be here today. And from staff, Dr. Lorenzo Hughes, Assistant Superintendent for Instruction, Mr. Dwayne Apt, Assistant Superintendent for Administration, North Dorchester High School Principal, Ms. Lynn Sarles, Mr. Chris Haig, School Facilities Engineer, and Mr. Tim Brook, our Comptroller.
Well, thank you for bringing the whole team out.
Well,
appreciate
in
you.
Case you had questions, I didn't want to be up here.
By Where myself. Was the Comptroller? I missed him. Oh, good. Yeah. Thank you.
Before delivering my prepared remarks, I'd like to share some really good news that we got yesterday. Our overall graduation rate rose to 86.5% in 2016. But we're very excited to also say that the gap between our African-American and white students that was over 16% in 2011 is now 0.44%.
Wow, congratulations. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you.
That's a team effort, overall community effort. Our county is a very small system, but we have been fortunate to have been able to replace or renovate several facilities in recent years. Thanks to the funding partnership between the State of Maryland and the Dorchester County Council, and we continue to be grateful for that partnership. Specifically, in the last 15 years, we have completely renovated our 57-year-old Judy Hoyer Center, replaced our two comprehensive middle schools, and constructed an expanded Dorchester Career and Technology Center with 9 new high-tech career completer opportunities. We appreciate the combined efforts made by the state and our local county council to provide these state-of-the-art facilities. However, we continue to have a great many needs at other schools in our county, which require that we advance our long-range capital improvement plan. Furthermore, as you are aware, Dorchester County faces a variety of economic challenges that rival those of more prominent school districts in Maryland. We continue to experience both a decline in our local tax base and a high unemployment rate. Indeed, 2 of every 3 of our students are eligible for free and reduced meals. Now, given all these challenges, we were thrilled to break ground for this replacement facility on September 29th. Thank you, Comptroller Franchot, for joining us. We are now completing the first phase of the project by installing the geothermal infrastructure and constructing new athletic facilities. We will rapidly be moving into the building construction of the actual school in August. This means that construction costs will rapidly escalate in fiscal year 2018. Before articulating our specific capital requests for fiscal year 2018, we would like to remind the board of Dorchester's exemplary stewardship of taxpayer resources. This is reflected not only by our track record of managing capital funds, but also by our tradition of exemplary maintenance. We were awarded the governor's citation for Sandy Hill Elementary School in 2008, and for North Dorchester Middle School in 2009. Comptroller Franchot presented the Silver Hammer Award to Hurlock Elementary School in 2011 and to Cambridge South Dorchester High School in 2016. Our average maintenance inspection score over the last 8 years is 85.62 out of 100. And according to the Department of Legislative Audits, we have the second lowest plant operations and maintenance costs of comparable schools in the entire state of Maryland. So all of this compels us to state our specific requests. We are seeking from the Board of Public Works the final $5,321,000 of the total Dorchester request of $10,021,000, of which $4,700,000 has already been recommended for the North Dorchester High School project. This request, pardon me, is in addition to the forward funding provided by Dorchester County government for this fiscal year, as well as next fiscal year. In addition to the high school, we are also requesting state funding support for two projects in our innovative alternative funding program that will vastly improve energy efficiency and occupant comfort across our district. The two eligible projects are HVAC improvements to Cambridge South Dorchester High School and HVAC and lighting improvements at the first geothermal school in the state that was ever built, the now 20-year-old Choptank Elementary School. Our share of these alternative funds is being generated without any additional burden to Dorchester taxpayers. So in conclusion, we wish to thank you for the opportunity for advocacy for you and for your support on behalf of our children. Should you have any questions for me or the legion of staff I've brought with me, please feel free.
Thank you very much. Sir, did you have something you wanted to ask?
No, I think our superintendent has said it all, and for those of you who don't know, Dr. Wagner has decided to retire this year.
Oh.
So,
did you tell him no?
I can't much blame him. I semi-retired out from the school system several years ago myself, but we are in the process as well of trying to find a replacement. We won't find one to match him, but we'll hopefully we can find someone close.
So let's congratulate him for all of that.
Yeah. I believe, speaking on behalf of the board, that he has done an excellent job, and we're going to miss him, but he's not going yet.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we thank you, and hopefully that you will honor what we need.
Thank you.
So, could you just tell me what the HVAC contracts, Tim, how they produce revenue? And
yes, we have partnered with ABM for an alternative funding contract. Tim, you want to come up, introduce yourself, and say what that is?
Good afternoon. Timothy Brook, Comptroller, Dorchester County Board of Ed. We have entered into a contract, a performance guarantee contract with ABM. They have done an energy audit of our district and have recommended a number of changes, putting in new equipment for old equipment, more energy efficient equipment, and this will give us savings in our utility bills, and we will utilize those savings to actually pay for the financing for this equipment.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just quickly on North Dorchester High, thank you for asking me down to it. You could just see how the design of the school with the horseshoe and the students running to get to classrooms and the kids eating out in the hallway for lunch, how important it is that that project move forward. And I congratulate you all on bringing everybody together. I know that the council, I know, Ricky Travers has spoken to about it many times to me. Hurlock Mayor Joyce Spratt has grabbed my buttonholed me a number of times on it. Frankly, everybody at the Board of Education, County Council, delegation, frankly, the Education Department, I just want to applaud everybody working together and bringing this project to fruition. Delighted that the sixth grade class is going to be the first to graduate from the new high school, and the ninth grade class will be the first to spend their entire high school careers in the new facility. It's money well spent.
Everybody's very excited. Thank you for your support.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to learn more specifics about the alternative funding program.
Sure.
Do we contact you? Or?
Yes, absolutely. Contact
Great.
Me, and I'll explain our process. We vetted it thoroughly over the course of a year. We have installed guarantees such that the school board is not at risk, which is critical to us because we're encumbering funds from future budgets. But it's a way of advancing the capital improvement plan without burdening the county.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Frederick County. I see our county executive, Jan Gardner. She's had a long day here, too. She started out with us early this morning.
Yes. Good afternoon, Governor. I'm Frederick Kopp and Comptroller Francho. I'm Brad Young. I'm here today as president of the great school system in Frederick County, Maryland. As you said, Governor Hogan, I'm accompanied today by our county executive, Jan Gardner, by our Maryland Superintendent of the Year, Dr. Teresa Aubin, and also today we brought our student member, Carter Gibson, who recently was admitted to Princeton. So he'll be heading off there.
Very good.
I'm sorry, and our new Chief Operating Officer, Paul Lebo, who just started with our school system in January. We're very excited to have Paul on board. On January 5th, we received a letter from the Public School Construction Program outlining the recommendation of the Interagency Committee on School Construction for allocation of 75% of the governor's preliminary capital budget. We're here today to appeal for additional funding for our fiscal year 18 school construction program. In a moment, Dr. Aubin will outline some more specifics on that. First off, I would like to take the time to thank the Board of Public Works for the state's ongoing support to our school construction program. In Frederick County, we're fortunate to have a strong partnership with our county government to address our capital budget needs. Frederick County has consistently forward-funded the funds needed for us to move our highest priority school construction projects forward. To date, the state has been able to reimburse the county for your share of those projects, and again, we thank you for doing that. The continued commitment from the state to fund projects in a timely manner is necessary so the county can maintain its ability to forward fund our capital program. We ask that you continue that level of commitment so that we can meet the school capacity needs in a fast-growing community. FCPS is also doing our part to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars, as we've heard from previous school systems. We take good care of our buildings. We make sure that they're presentable. We know that our students and our staff have a good learning environment and also to be responsible to the taxpayers for those buildings. Our approaches to school construction are consistently applauded by state officials, and Governor Hogan, we also use the same prototype for many of our projects.
Great.
You will note that Frederick High, because of the constraints in being on a property already, we couldn't do that. We're very excited that that project will open this fall. We hope that you all can be out there.
Love
and
that.
Governor Hogan, I also wanted to thank you for your commitment to the Links program and your budget to that school. That will be extremely beneficial to our Frederick High students as well as the students in Frederick County. We've worked through these prototypes, value engineering, and partnerships within our community and are consistently recognized for the excellence in our maintenance programs and appreciate Comptroller Franchot's many Silver Hammer Awards for our schools in Frederick County. We strongly feel that our ability to provide a proper academic and instructional program and our students' ability to achieve high standards depends on adequate school facilities. Towards this goal, we ask that the state continue to be an active partner with FCPS and Frederick County government to meet our school construction capital funding needs. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our County Executive, Jan Gardner, for some more comments.
Thank you very much.
Okay, it's nice to see you twice in one day. I'm pleased to be here to join Superintendent Dr. Aubin and Brad Young, who's the President of our Board of Education. We do have a very excellent working relationship between Frederick County government and our public school partners. And this really has allowed us to do some creative problem solving and some innovative thinking to make sure that we can keep our school construction program on track.
You may remember last year when we were here, we were facing the challenge of rising costs, particularly with Frederick High School. So I want to share a little bit about what we've done to try to control costs. The school system value engineered Frederick High School after it was bid and came up with $2 million of savings.
Wow.
We also value engineered the next two projects after that, coming up with $2 million of savings. The county council approved an increase in development impact fees to help generate some revenue. And I'm very pleased to say we got our first AAA bond rating from all three rating agencies in June, and that actually allowed us to tweak up our debt capacity a little bit, which did help us keep our school construction schedule on track.
Congratulations on all those achievements.
Thank you. We did enter into a creative partnership last year with two local developers who actually helped us to forward fund the state share on a couple of projects. Basically, they pay the bond interest on that state forward funding and allow us to not have to use that against our debt affordability. But probably most importantly, I appointed a local school construction work group that's comprised of industry professionals, school system representatives, county staff, local developers, and I tasked them with making recommendations on how to save 8 to 10% on the county's elementary school prototype design without compromising educational needs. Their report is due to come out in a few weeks on February 23rd, and I believe they will achieve that goal. So I look forward to sharing those recommendations with all of our county and state partners and with the 21st Century School Construction Commission. They are recommending both some legislative solutions and some construction solutions. So I want you to know that in Frederick County, we're doing our part. We're committed to providing the county share of all the projects that are in our fiscal year 18 request, and that an investment in Frederick County schools is money well spent. Frederick County has a proven track record of responsibly managing our projects, meeting our timelines, using proven prototype designs over and over again, forward funding the state share, and maintaining our schools to meet the state's strict maintenance standards. And again, like many others, I thank Comptroller Francho for coming up and recognizing our schools and really recognizing those maintenance employees who really do that day-to-day job to make sure we maintain that investment that we collectively have in our infrastructure. So thank you for supporting our students and our schools. And with that, I will turn it over to our superintendent, Dr. Alvin.
Well, thank you very much, and I liked everything you had to say, especially about saving $2 million on three different, you know, projects, and that's phenomenal with the value engineering. Pretty soon you got a whole other school. You save that on a couple of others, so that's great work.
Good afternoon. We appreciate the opportunity to come before you and request additional state construction funding for our highest priority projects. I'm going to step a little bit outside of my testimony so that I can address some of the questions I've heard you ask of previous districts in my remarks as well.
Thank you.
So we are asking that you accept the IAC recommendation for the remainder of the state share of funding for the Frederick High School replacement project. Construction began on this project in 2015, and it remains on schedule. We will open the new school in the fall of 2017. When we will also kick off Links, and I want to join in thanking you, Governor Hogan, for putting funding for Links in your budget. We are hoping that will become the prototype design for 21st century high schools across the state, and we're really excited to have you come out and see what happens there.
We'd love to see it.
Parts of Frederick High are older than 75 years, and so this new school will replace the oldest high school that was in our county. By funding the remainder of the state's financial commitment to this project, our county government will be able to forward fund our next two highest priority projects. I do want to let you know that at Frederick High School, that is our high school that has the largest percentage of students who qualify for free and reduced meals. It also has the largest percentage of our English language learners. To give you a sense of some of what's been happening, since September 30th, we have had 115 new English language learners enter Frederick High School this year. That has required us to provide additional staffing to support their needs. Many of these students, when they come to us and they're in middle school or high school already, have gone through very traumatic experiences in their journey to the United States. And so one of the supports that we have put in place is we have identified one of our school psychologists to work specifically with our English language learners who are new to the country. That psychologist is bilingual and has been an incredible asset not only to the students but to their family members in grappling with some of the issues that they faced. The next two priorities are the two new elementary schools that we are ready to begin construction this spring, Sugarloaf and Butterfly Ridge Elementary Schools. In order to reduce costs, we are using our prototype elementary school design. This will be the second and the third elementary school using that design, and the replacement for Urbana Elementary School will use that design as well. Our construction director said...
Are you finding that is helping you save considerable amount of money?
Our construction director said we save 10 to 15% on all of our design work when we use the prototype. The other thing that has proven really valuable is when you have students and staff living in a building, they can point out the tweaks that will make it even better for schools to come. And so we've been able to do modifications with the interior, with cabinetry, things like that, to benefit the next generation that moves into that building. Both of these elementary schools are located in two of the fastest-growing areas of Frederick County. We urge you to continue to fund these two projects so that they can remain on schedule. Sugarloaf Elementary is in the Urbana community. It's on the I-270 corridor, where residential development has outpaced construction of new schools. This new school will primarily relieve Centerville and Urbana elementary schools. Centerville is currently operating at 148% of state-rated capacity with 18 portable classrooms, while Urbana is operating at 137% with 14 single classroom portables. Butterfly Ridge is located on the west side of Frederick City. Butterfly Ridge will serve a community that includes the highest percentage of students living in poverty and English language learners. The existing schools that will be relieved by Butterfly Ridge are Hillcrest Elementary School, operating at 135% of capacity with 32 portable classrooms. Waverly Elementary, operating at 143% with 17 single portable classrooms. And Orchard Grove Elementary, operating at 104% of capacity with 6 single portable classrooms. Nearby schools in the area are also near or over capacity. And again, that is an area that has been impacted by recent enrollment growth. I would also note that we are requesting funding for several important systemic renovation projects, several of which the IAC has recommended for funding. We ask that you fund these projects as well as fund the remaining systemic renovation request, and I won't read through the list. But again, these are all critically important to maintaining our aging buildings in our school system. And as has been noted before, with good quality maintenance and keeping our systems running, these buildings will serve our taxpayers for many, many years. Frederick County has a positive track record of budgeting, design, and construction, and that should give the state confidence that the funding provided will be efficiently and effectively used to construct new schools and maintain our existing schools. We thank you for your time and consideration and urge you to fund our FY18 school construction funding request. And we're happy to take any questions you may have about our projects.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
Sure. Thank you. I share the governor's and I'm sure the treasurer's recognition of your generally good maintenance reports. I did see some issues with roofs in the fiscal year 15 report, and that report said that a large number of adverse roof conditions were found on older roofs, such as leaking seams, damaged gutters, and flashing separation, indicating the need for roof replacements. And I see you've got 3 roof replacements in your request, but they seem to be pretty far down the priority list. Or do you think that the roofs that are referred to in the inspection report of 2015 are going to be repaired?
I believe some of the work has already been done on some of those. We sometimes will fund projects from our operating budget to support when we have a high need. While these may be down the list, I wouldn't say they are less of a priority. Our systemic renovations are a very high priority for us. At this point, however, getting those schools built, you could hear about the capacity issues, were identified as the 3 key priorities for our board. But we always do keep our systemic renovations front and center when we submit our capital improvement request.
Didn't you correspond with us last year? Was it the year before?
In my role as president of PZAM, yes, I did.
Because right. That was a rather extraordinary letter that was written to us. And, you know, I hope that the progress that's been made on the air conditioning in the schools, I hope the progress that's been made with starting school after Labor Day, all of which are entirely appropriate questions and things that we can ask about, cause the superintendents to realize that we are an oversight panel that is interested in progress and improvement. And I responded, I guess, in kind with my own letter back, but that was, I think, a very unfortunate letter.
Comptroller Franchot, I appreciate the fact that you can separate out my standing here today as the superintendent of Frederick County Public Schools from my role last year as the president of PZAM and my role this year as the past president of PZAM. That letter was a unanimous decision by our superintendents. I can tell you that we appreciate and understand the importance of this process. We are willing to accept accountability and happy to answer questions. After last year's proceedings, there were some concerns expressed by superintendents, which prompted the letter. But I can tell you that everything I have heard from my colleagues today has been how pleased we have been with how the process has gone today, the types of questions that we've been responding to. And so I thank you for your willingness to look at continuous improvement. We will do the same.
Good. And I don't detect any difference between this time last year and the year before, but that's okay. We'll let that ride because we're all on good terms right
the
now.
The only difference is that the folks who were complaining are the ones that fixed all the problems we asked them to fix.
Well, that's I'm focused on the kids, and I know you are too.
Absolutely.
But sometimes other forces intervene, and I think you may have gotten caught up in that, unfortunately. And let me ask about this subject of immigrants, because Frederick is obviously very involved in this because of your population. And I want to make sure that you and the county executive also feel free, County Executive Gardner, to come up and chime in. But I hope people are ready to provide whatever protections these innocent kids who, through no fault of their own, end up in our school system are experiencing because of, both rhetoric that's out there and possible stuff that's going to happen. And I, once again, I'm sympathetic to the governor saying don't get involved in hypotheticals, but nothing surprises me these days. So are you guys, do you have a policy?
Our board has made it very, very clear, as have staff, that once a student enters our schools, they are our student. That's what being a public school system is all about. We meet regularly with leaders in our community, our Hispanic leaders, our Muslim leaders, our faith leaders, ministers of churches in the area. We want the families and the students to know that we will do everything we can to support them. We try to provide those wraparound services, as I indicated earlier, for mental health issues, but also pointing them in the right direction for support, for food, for clothing, to learn English. Frederick High School offers adult education English classes for the community. So I believe that as a community, from our county government to our Board of Education, to the teachers who are standing in our classrooms right now, we do what we can to embrace and welcome those students and provide them with the same quality of instruction that any student entering our building will receive.
Great. And I refer everybody to today's Washington Post. B3 has an article about a African-American waitress at a restaurant in Maryland, I think, who served three gentlemen from Texas, white males who were, she thought, Trump supporters there in town for the inauguration. And everybody went through the whole, whatever it was, lunch, et cetera, and I guess I'm not sure there was any tension or anything. But for a $67 lunch for the three individuals, they left her a $450 tip. And they said, you know, we're different gender, different race, we're all Americans. And kind of brought tears to my eyes when I read that, because we are all in this together, despite whatever differences.
That is a very heartwarming anecdote and a very positive one because, as you said, there were a lot of issues in our schools that we had to deal with. And I think one of the ones that was very sad for me was a little elementary student who expressed to her teacher that she was very, very afraid because she was told her family was going to have to go back to Mexico and they didn't know anyone in Mexico because they had immigrated here from Puerto Rico. So young children don't understand, but yet are still impacted by that. And so there are a lot of incredible resources out there to help teachers and administrators in how to talk about these difficult things with children, and we made sure those were in the hands of all of our staff as well.
Excellent.
So we appreciate your support in that area.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Garrett County.
Dr. Baker?
Maybe Garrett and Allegheny should have rode in together.
Opposite ends of the day, I think. We'll work on that next time. Good afternoon. Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Kopp, greetings from the students, the staff, and the teachers of the Garrett County Public School System. I'd like to begin by thanking you for the opportunity to address this board to discuss our impending capital improvement plan and the needs of our school system. I'd also like to thank the Interagency Committee on School Construction and the Public School Construction Program staff for their guidance and their support to get us where we are today in preparation for our 2018 capital plan. So thank you all.
Thank you for coming.
My name is Bill Swift. I'm the Director of Facilities, Maintenance, Operations, and Security for Garrett County Public Schools. And I'm joined here with our Interim Superintendent, Ms. Barbara Baker. Thank you. If you recall, we were stood in front of this board last year requesting state funds to totally renovate the Southern Middle School in Oakland, Maryland. Our request for state funds was approved last year, and for that we thank you. Unfortunately, local funds were not available to proceed with the project. As a result, the funding request for total renovation was rescinded in March of 2016. Since total renovation of the school was not financially viable, we are here today to request funding for three systemic renovation projects to further maintain the school for the foreseeable future. We initially identified 11 building systems in need of replacement for the school. Over the past 9 months, each system has been thoroughly reviewed, analyzed, and prioritized by our facilities and maintenance staff, the school staff, contracted architects and engineers, by the Board of Education and the Board of County Commissioners. Priority was assigned on based on the age and condition of the building systems, safety concerns, impact of the building systems on other systems, cost of the renovation, and the impact to the residents of the school. As a result of this analysis, we have identified the following systems for restoration in fiscal year 2018. First, a complete roof replacement for the middle school, fire line replacement, and the sanitary line replacement. Before we go into the details there, I would like to just give you a little background on the school. Southern Middle School was built in the southern part of Garrett County in 1977. The school serves 544 students, 40 faculty, in a 6-8 grade band configuration. At 40 years old, many of the building systems have exceeded their useful life expectancy. However, the building has been well maintained over the years, and we believe the ratings of good for the last 20 years on the Educational Facilities Master Plan demonstrates the excellent standard of care provided by our maintenance and custodial staffs. In order to maintain this facility for future use as a middle school, we have identified the following projects and request funding to complete the following. The most urgent request is to replace the entire roof system on the school, which is 92,000 square feet. This is the original roof and will celebrate its 40th year on the school. Over the last 10 to 15 years, small sections of the roof have been patched, repaired, and reflooded multiple times. There are still leaks in the roof, and key components are very brittle. Leaks are becoming more frequent and severe in the past several years. The second building system in need of replacement is the fire alarm system. The plan is to upgrade the existing panel and all related devices, incorporate the new code requirements, install a new addressable voice evacuation system, coordinate all activities with the State Fire Marshal's office, and to incorporate the system into the existing sprinkler and HVAC systems. And the third billing system identified for replacement is the sanitary line that serves both Southern Middle School and the adjacent Broadford Elementary School. This system is also original and has been repaired multiple times. Due to the nature of the existing line, the depth of the line, and the complexity of replacing or relining the existing system, we feel it's most cost-effective to abandon the existing line and to install a new line, manholes, and the related equipment. So in closing, the importance of these projects cannot be overemphasized. Southern Middle School provides heating and cooling to the adjacent Broadford Elementary School. Both facilities serve a population of 1,119 students, which represents nearly 30% of the entire Garrett County student enrollment. The heating and cooling systems at the middle school were recently upgraded in 2007 and 2011, and in 2012, the HVAC controls were upgraded using local funds. The existing physical plant will remain intact and operational throughout these renovation projects to support the needs of Southern Middle and Broadford Elementary. And lastly, these projects have received favorable recommendations from the IEC staff and public school construction program. The Garrett County Board of Commissioners and the Board of Education recognize and support the need of these systemic renovations. We respectfully request that the Board of Public Works approve total funding for the projects for fiscal year 2018. Thank you for your time and your support of these important initiatives.
Thank you very much. You mentioned that we put the money in and the county could not come up with their end of the money and it had to be rescinded. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
What was the total amount of money that the county was unable to come up with, and what were the circumstances behind that?
The county allotment after we took out all the ad alternates was approximately $21 million, which would be about $7 to $8 million per year, and they felt that their budget just could not be able to absorb that type of commitment.
What proportion of the total cost would that have been?
That's about 75% of the total cost of the project that the local would have to pay for.
Including the things that are not eligible for.
That did include the ineligible items, yes.
What about on the eligible items? What percentage would it be? You know?
I don't know that offhand, sir.
Just trying to see if it's more cost effective to consider doing the total renovation and have the state kick in more money, rather than to have us fund all these, you know, Band-Aid approaches. Even if the county can't come up with the money, maybe we can find another way around that. Is anybody from the county commissioners here with you today?
No, sir.
They were here last year in support of the project.
I'm not saying we're not supportive of this request. I'm just saying we might like to help more.
Yeah.
That would be one.
Sure.
And also because your overall rating for maintenance has got to be one of the top two or three in the state.
Thank you.
So happy to concur with the governor on the
idea. Maybe it's something we can go back and take a look at. But thank you very much.
Any
other questions?
Nope.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Harford County. I know we have a number of our elected officials from Harford County. My friend, County Executive Glassman, wanted to be here, I know, but I understand he may be up in New York meeting with the bond rating agencies. And we had a very productive discussion with him about Poverty Grace Middle and High School, which we got lots of other folks here to talk. But thank you very much for joining us.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Comp, esteemed members of the Board of Public Works, and I'd like to recognize our State Superintendent, Dr. Karen Solomon, and also Mrs. Joan Schaefer. I am Barbara Canavan, Superintendent of Harford County Public Schools, and I'm here to thank you for your continued support to provide sound education in our district. Today, I am here to appeal the IAC recommendations to the Board of Public Works for the Harford County Public Schools FY 2018 Capital Improvement Program. Without the support of our Board of Education, our County Exec, Mr. Barry Glassman, our County Council, and our delegation, Harford County Public Schools would not be able to deliver quality educational programs or maintain school facilities for the students and staff of Harford County. Joining me today, representing the county executive, who is indeed in New York City, in support of this appeal is Ms. Cindy Mumby, the Director of Governmental and Community Relations. Also present are delegates Mr. Andrew Cassily, Ms. Marianne Lasanti, Senator Bob Cassily, Kathy Carmelo, who represents government relations in Harford County, and Mike Mason, who also represents government relations for Harford County government. Did I miss anybody?
Thank you, Mayor. Another delegate back there.
What can we say here? And Delegate Roddy. Would some of you like to move over?
All right, thank you.
Guess we're all friends in Harford County. Everybody has got to come.
Got a big group here. That's nice.
All right. Maybe they want to raise their hand when I call their name.
It's hard to say no when you get this many people.
Yeah. More than anyone else.
No, we're not going to do that. Also with me today to answer any questions you may have are Ms. Nancy Reynolds, the President of the Board of Ed, Ms. Joe Licata, Chief of Administration, Mr. Tom Fitzpatrick, who serves on the Board of Ed and represents Habitat Grace, Mr. Cornell Brown, Assistant Superintendent for Operations, Ms. Patty Jo Beard, Executive Director of Facilities Management, Ms. Chris Morton, Supervisor of Facilities Management,
and
Mrs. Misty Valentina, Facilities Planner. I'm a New Yorker. Okay, it has been a productive year in Harford County since last year's appeal hearing. At the beginning of 2016-17 school year, kindergartners, first and second grade students were able to move into the new two-story, gorgeous Youth's Benefit Elementary School. The project is scheduled for full occupancy by the start of the 2017-18 school year. When completed, the Falston community will have a new single-building elementary school facility in lieu of the three buildings and seven relocatable classrooms that comprise the Youth's Benefit program prior to this project. And we thank everybody that supported us on this project. Prospect Mill Elementary is undergoing an open space enclosure project. Churchville Elementary has undergone roof replacement projects. Also, after the past year, we have added air conditioning to the Center of Educational Opportunity, so now all Harford County public schools are air conditioned. We are in the process of completing design efforts to bid and award a roof replacement project at Joppatown High School, an HVAC system renovation at Riverside Elementary School, and two open space conversions, William S. James Elementary and William Paca Old Post Road Elementary. With the two open space enclosure projects scheduled to start in June and the projects already in progress, all but one of our schools with open space classrooms are being addressed. The last school, Beller Elementary, is included in our FY 2018 request. We continue to work collaboratively with our county government and our delegation as we evaluate the comprehensive needs of our school system, strive to meet the needs, and balance our needs with the limited fiscal resources available. We believe that with your financial assistance and our focus on long-term master planning, Harford County will continue to successfully identify and address long-term deferred maintenance and the needs of an aging infrastructure. Please know that your assistance over the years has had much to do with the progress we have made. With this in mind, we are here today to seek your continued financial support. During this year's capital budget process, the IAC has graciously recommended the partial funding of two of our project requests. The partial funding requested in the amount of $5,500,000 for the Habitat Grace Middle High Replacement Project, and the partial funding requested.
Can I interrupt you right there?
Yes, you may.
Because you're on a roll, but I don't want to stop the roll.
Okay.
But I want to touch base on that. Last year, at this hearing, we had a really productive conversation with your county executive about regarding Habitat Grace Middle and high school, which is slated, as you said, recommended for $5 million in funding this year. And I know that you're looking at funding the project using both a traditional model and a value engineer alternative approach. And we think that's terrific. You know, Comptroller made an excellent suggestion at this hearing last year about making this kind of a pilot program, like the Monarch Academy style project, where we can see how we can get more bang for our buck. And you know, I just think this dual approach is a good thing to see where you can find savings, and if we can deliver
a product at a lower square foot per square foot number like they did. It's something we'd certainly love to see more of, and you get you may be able to build two schools instead of one for the same money. And so we appreciate your efforts with that.
Well, we're committed to doing that. Can I get that on the...
Sure,
okay.
Sorry.
I want to make sure.
I interrupted the teacher. I hope I have to stay at the school.
I didn't teach that way, but that's the title point. Okay, additionally, the IAC has recommended the deferment of two of our project requests. The deferment of funding requested in the amount of $569,000 for the roof replacement project at North Hartford Elementary, and a deferment of funding requested in the amount of $5,510,000 for the HVAC systemic project at Roy Williams Elementary. We appreciate the IAC recommendation of $7 million for these much-needed projects, and we thank you for your support. Governor Hogan, Hartford County Public Schools is appealing the IAC recommendation to partially fund the Havre de Grace Middle High School Replacement Project and the Bel Air Elementary HVAC Open Space Enclosure Project. $4.5 million represents the balance of the funding required to start the replacement of the three buildings making up the current Havre de Grace Middle and High School with a single, more efficient, effective, and safe facility for the community of Havre de Grace. $2,091,000 represents the balance of the funding required to address our last open space enclosure project at Bel Air Elementary School, resolving the associated safety and security concerns. Additionally, Hartford County Public Schools is appealing the IAC recommendation to defer funding the North Hartford Elementary Roof Replacement Project and the Roy Williams Elementary Systemic Renovation. Hartford County Public Schools would like to replace one roof a year to maintain the roofing systems and replacement requirements of our 54 schools. $569,000 represents the funding required to address our most critical roof replacement need, North Hartford Elementary. Additionally, the $5,040,000 represents the funding required to replace and upgrade the declining Roy Williams Elementary School HVAC system. The project will also address much-needed upgrades to life safety components such as sprinkler heads, fire alarm control panels, fire alarm devices, and adding a generator, which will comply with MEMA requirements. In closing, I would like to thank you and express our sincere appreciation for all your support. It is our hope that you will continue to endorse our efforts by upholding our appeal to fully fund the replacement of the Havre de Grace Middle High School, the Open Space Enclosure Project at Bel Air Elementary, and the Roof Replacement Project at North Hartford Elementary. Finally, the systemic renovation at North Hartford Elementary. At this time, I would like to ask Cindy Mumby to come forward. She'll be representing Barry Glassman today, and then we are more than happy to entertain any questions or comments that you might have.
And then we might ask if any of your other distinguished panel here would like to say anything.
Any of my other distinguished guests are welcome to make comments.
Excuse me. Good afternoon. Well, Governor, you sort of stole my thunder. I wanted to bring up the Havre de Grace Middle School High School project. And indeed, we are, we believe, among one of the first counties to pursue this dual track with the traditional...
Unfortunately, your county executive, like, spilled the beans, and he and I talked already, so...
He did. I'll have to speak to him about that. But he did want me to emphasize his appreciation for your support for this approach. In addition, as you noted, he would very much like to be here today, but could not because he is at a previously scheduled meeting with the bond rating agencies in New York. We're trying to maintain our AAA bond rating again this year. But I am here to represent his support for our Board of Education's capital improvement program and to say that the county is prepared to fund our local share of these projects. Thank you very much.
Would any of our elected officials or anybody else like to chime in?
Absolutely. As a graduate of Havre de Grace High School, I couldn't take this opportunity but to thank you all for your past support and, most importantly, for the visits that all of you have had to our beautiful waterfront community. It's one thing to sit here and make decisions about our community and give financial support, but it's another thing to actually come to our community and face our people and give them your support in person. So I want you to know how important it is, and I want to thank you for that personally.
Thank you very much. And I mean, as young as you are, it doesn't feel kind of bad that your high school is going to be 20
more down in place. But.
Well, actually,
I deserve when you live by the water, you deserve one.
Governor, this is Cop. Mr. Frenchel, I thank you. You all, I know both the governor and Mr. Frenchel have been in both Havre de Grace and Bel Air over the last several times over the last year and a half or so. So you're familiar with these areas. These are great schools, and we look forward to your support. Thank you very much. These are great communities. The schools they're talking about are very mixed in their population, minority, majority. It's a really healthy environment. We look forward to your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Governor, Comptroller, State Superintendent. Just briefly, again, to reiterate, I think on behalf of our entire delegation, we are incredibly appreciative of what we've received. We're also appreciative of your attention. Because of our high attention to the design, construction, and operation of our schools, we're able to really operate with minimal requests coming to you. Because of our top-notch program, we were honored to receive not one but two Silver Hammer Awards from the Comptroller, and we're very much appreciated to that. And, again, we very much appreciate any consideration you can give to us. Thank you very much.
Anybody else want to say anything? I want to thank all of the elected officials for coming out. I think this is the most support we've had from the whole county today, all day today. So thank you all for being here. I know you have busy schedules, and thank you all for your presentation.
I have one question, just confusion. First of all, thank you all for your hospitality over at the Calvert House last week, too. That was very nice. The alternative funding for Havre de Grace, is the alternative? There was a newspaper article that you're looking at alternative funding, and it wasn't clear to me what that was talking about.
Hi, good afternoon. What we're looking at is different delivery strategies, as well as there's kind of two parts to it, the delivery of the building in terms of the bricks and mortar and the delivery system to try to save as much money as we can. So we have the unique opportunity to work on parallel tracks.
That's the value engineering.
That's correct.
It's not an alternative
financing
mechanism.
That's correct.
He's not sure the final cost is an
alternative. Got it. Great.
Thank you. Senator Rosenfeld. Put me in a headlock. He's dragging me to some
Good.
Schools.
Monarch Academy. They built a beautiful new school for one-third of the cost of what anybody else is doing. And we're thinking if you could find a way to do it, you could build two or three schools instead of one, and everybody'd be better off. So it's worth taking a look at.
Yeah, so I just want to follow up on the governor, because this is not value engineering. This is revolutionary engineering in thinking. It's bigger, bolder, better, but also cheaper. And I would really encourage everyone in Harford County to rally around the county executive, who I think has visited Monarch Academy and wants to explore these ideas. And you can easily get thrown off track by the kind of mindset that a lot of folks have as far as school construction. And I urge everyone here to think really innovatively. And I applaud the governor to the extent he suggests that there might be some merit to giving extra support to your efforts, because it's not easy to get outside of the comfort zone. Instead of building a school for 100 years, which is kind of crazy, but why not build one for 50 years that will last 50 years and have significant savings? So to the extent you come out with these proposals, I hope that you'll share them with at least the three members of the board and other, Senator Cassidy, other elected officials, and reassure them, because I guarantee you there's a big pushback from the status quo kind of approach. I happen to think there's enormous potential in it. I applaud the county executive. I hate to kill the idea by saying it's associated with Senator Rosenpap, but no, he's just the catalyst.
Well, I mean, it says something. I mean, with all due respect to Jim Rosenpap, who's a good friend of mine, he's not what most people would consider to be a fiscal watchdog, or he's somewhat of a big spender, and he wants us to save money on schools.
Yeah. But seriously, I really hope that you'll keep us informed. And is the idea here that you're going to possibly put two different projects out to bid? Is that the plan?
We're trying to go down a parallel track because we think that's really the only way to get a true picture, apples to apples, on these various methods. It's a middle high school, which is unique in and of itself. And so how that will work under these circumstances will be something that we're going to watch very carefully. And then we'll be in the position to make an informed decision as to which
is a great idea. Guess, so. Well, I don't have any other questions. Anybody else? Thank you all very much for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Next up, we have Howard County.
Yes, no, we'll get the report.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Comp, Superintendent Salmon. I'm Renee Foose, Superintendent of Schools for the Howard County Public School System. We're here to request an increase in the allocation to the Interagency Committee on School Construction's recommendation for fiscal year 2018 capital projects. We'd first like to thank the Board of Public Works for their participation and funding in the Wild Lake Middle School replacement project. Funding for this project allowed us to successfully open Maryland's first net zero school on time as scheduled. For fiscal year 2018, thank you for the approval of $14.8 million out of our total request of $39 million. As you continue to review public school construction capital improvement requests, we'd like to make you aware of some of our local concerns. The school system continues its efforts to reduce construction costs. We've begun to perform value engineering on each project at the planning stage with a focus on changes that reduce costs while meeting building requirements and instructional needs. We are hopeful that these efforts will lead to much-needed savings. We've also been exploring alternative approaches to providing educational space to free up existing school capacity and defer the need for new construction. These efforts highlight our commitment to fiscally responsible capital planning. As noted recently by the state, Howard County was the fastest-growing county in the state last year. We've been among the fastest-growing for some time, and enrollment projections indicate that we'll continue to see significant enrollment growth over the next decade. The fiscal year 2018 and future state funding requests will respond to the projected student capacity needs by preparing the county with new capital projects and facilities, and additions and renovation projects when they are most needed. We continue to balance the need for classroom seats with maintaining the condition of our existing physical plant and continue to make capital investments that will reduce our life cycle operating costs as the systemic projects in this year reflect. We ask that you reconsider and fully fund the Status A projects, including the HVAC projects at Mountview Middle, Pointers Run Elementary, and Rockburn Elementary, as well as the RTU project at Burley Manor Middle School. Fully funding each of these requests will allow the replacement of systems that have reached the end of their serviceable life and can no longer be efficiently maintained. At this time, due to the lack of local funding match, we'll not be proceeding with Status B projects in fiscal year 2018. We will request state funding in 2019 submission as local participation becomes available. This change reduces the total Howard County request to $21.1 million. The remaining state funding requested for Status A projects is $6 million, $6.2 million. The taxpayers of Howard County have historically supported school construction, funding more than 70% of the total capital requirements for the school system each year. In recent years, however, county funds have not kept pace with the growing projects and maintenance projects needed for the school system. While we understand the constraints that factor into the calculation of funding eligibility, we would ask that you consider the declining local investment prior to making your final decisions. We appreciate the support and cooperative relationship we've developed with the public school construction program staff, and will continue to work closely with the public school construction staff regarding the challenges and issues facing us today and in the future. Thank you for the opportunity to present our views, and we look forward to receiving favorable support for the increased funding for the Howard County Public School System.
Thank you very much. Is anybody here from the county government? And you made some pretty strong statements about their lack of support for the schools. I'd like to hear directly from them.
We don't have any county officials with us today, elected officials.
This is Beverly Davis, Chief Financial Officer.
Hi, Beverly.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Governor. I don't want to give the impression we're making any negative comment towards our county government. We highlighted their high level of commitment year in and year out. All of those phase plan B projects had final cost estimates that would significantly increase. It would require us to increase the FY18 request by $9 million at the local side. To increase that is what we don't think the county could bear. So we don't want to have to go back and ask for more on those. That's where we're saying they would need to be deferred.
Okay. Thank you. I noticed that so part of the recommendation here today before us is $9.7 million for significant renovation projects for four of the schools. And these renovations include replacing the entire HVAC systems, ceilings, light fixtures, fire alarms, and one of those schools, Pointers Run Elementary, is getting a major duct work along with several heating and ventilation systems. And I know last year we had kind of a spirited discussion about concerns from some folks about mold and some issues in some of the schools. Are these projects part of a plan to try to mitigate and rectify that situation?
I believe we have mitigated and rectified the situation that we discussed here last year, Governor. But all of these projects that we have on our list, safety and security of students is our foremost concern. And so we take into consideration all of the outlining factors and the community concerns as we're moving forward with all of these. So the answer to your question is yes.
Okay, great. Is there anybody else in the group that wants to testify here or say anything?
This is my staff that does an amazing job to keep Howard County highly rated academically, the highest rated in the state, I might add. And it is also this staff behind me that has made it so that our average score on the annual school construction annual inspection has been an average of 92% over the last 6 years.
Not bad. You have any questions?
Yeah, no. I just noticed that Burley Manor is one of nine schools requesting this year's new project category, the HVAC / ceiling and above interior systems. I take it this is a new category that's been added.
This is Herb Sadjay, our Director of Facilities.
I believe this is a category that was added by the state. What we've taken on is we've taken a look at what we can do to fulfill what the state has asked for multiple systems in these projects. So that's why you're looking at ceilings and lighting and ductwork. And while we're in there, we might as well do the ceilings and the ductwork and the lighting. It makes sense bringing up the LEDs and all that. So.
But I think it's fair to speculate that the new category is a systemic response to the mold issues raised at last year's meeting regarding Glenwood Middle, and that this solution to a mold problem that landed students and teachers and staff members in the hospital.
Yes.
Is that what we're dealing with here?
No, that's not at all what we're dealing with. I have some documentation to clarify some misunderstandings about that. Last year, we did not have students and staff members in the hospital because of mold-related injuries. And I wish I would have had the documentation with me last year when we discussed it. I could have presented it at that time to clear up any misunderstandings that existed at that point. We also were recently recognized by the EPA administrator for...
But just to be clear, I mean, it wasn't a misunderstanding on our part. It was a misunderstanding on all the people in Howard County, which is why I think they replaced the entire school board. It was a pretty bad communications problem, if nothing else.
Well, I have my communications director here with us today to speak to what we have done to improve communications.
Just didn't want anybody to get the impression that we were confused. Or it was everybody in the county had thought this was a problem.
I was just trying to make the point that the Board of Public Works has a role in providing scrutiny and accountability to some of our elected citizens where it's appropriate. And I don't mind having all the information so that we get a balanced view of what's going on. I just think it's, to the extent you have a new category, it certainly seems appropriate given the concerns that were raised, and I frankly applaud the fact that you're listing some of these things so that, concerns about ceiling stains that I guess were observed in a couple of schools in the 2015 maintenance report and minor ceiling stains in six schools, you know, I'm not sure which schools those are. They didn't list them, but I assume that, you know, you're
yes.
taking care of them and that they're able to indicate that they need some maintenance help in the appropriate capital category. And so I applaud that. And just that there's some whispers in the woodwork about the fact that we don't need the Board of Public Works to look at these school construction proposals. And I happen to think that we're the only transparent, accountable oversight of this that frankly occurs. Everybody else is just trying to cram more potatoes into the sack and get more money. And we're actually sitting up here asking about let's make sure the potatoes are properly taken care of.
Agreed. And thank you for the compliment. And we've actually reduced our request in the appeal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we have some speakers that are signed up as well.
Can I just ask one question since the comptroller mentioned the maintenance on the, this is just drilling down a bit. The maintenance 2016 sanitation, there's something about the kitchens. Maintenance of kitchen equipment is a sufficient deficiency identified in majority of schools. The on-site staff reported insufficient support from the firm that is responsible for contractual maintenance.
Yes.
My question is, this issue has come up, I think, at least in the press in Carroll County also. Do the system, the superintendents or the appropriate people ever drill down to things like that to exchange information?
Yes, we do. And to that piece, when it shows up in these reports, we certainly address it. Oftentimes, that's the first we're made aware of.
It just hit me.
I'm going to
let
Bruce Gist, our executive director for planning and school construction, address it directly.
It's not that I'm not interested in kitchens. I was more interested in the coincidence and the question of whether you exchange information at that level, that sort of thing.
As a matter of fact, we've made that part of our capital budget request to start taking a look at their kitchens on an annual basis and start approaching them tactfully. We have 76 schools. We try to address them whenever we have a renovation or addition or modernization. And in addition to that, we've now added a consideration in our capital budget request to address the kitchens. I'm not sure. I believe it's about $500,000 a year that we're going to look into putting into our kitchens. That was a discussion that I had with our director of food and nutrition services. He thought that was a good amount to start with and see where this whole thing plays out.
And do you look into things like the contractors, whether the contractors are doing all they should be doing?
What we found in that in that statement, ma'am, was we were having a problem with the contractors that we did have because they could simply not locate parts. And they were literally, in their words, having to cannibalize other parts to make parts to fix the kitchen equipment. That's all that's been maintained well, but it eventually reaches an end-of-life use. And we had to go around, and it took a lot of work just to find little parts.
I guess.
So now we're looking to replace the parts.
Great. Thank you very much.
Could I just comment, Dr. Foos, your county is fourth best in the state as far as overall maintenance ratings. So you can put that in your category. Could you just comment briefly on my concern about innocent kids that are happen to be here with no documents because their parents were here when they were young and all of a sudden they end up in our schools?
Quite unfortunate that we find ourselves in that situation.
Well, the unfortunate part is the atmosphere
yes.
that hopefully will not gel and take any action. But
in Harrod County, all of our students are in a safe place. We don't seek out the information to determine status of students. We're legally not allowed to ask that. And we have begun looking at how we're going to provide training since this has become such a contemporary issue within our schools. So our students are safe, they're protected, they're welcomed, and it is not common knowledge or even in some cases our knowledge as to which students are documented or undocumented.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We have a number of speakers signed up. Thank you all very much. Representing the Howard County School Board, we have Cindy Valencourt. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. just wanted to let you all know that we are working very hard to use your funding wisely and to thank you for your support. I was wondering if you all had any questions about what you just heard.
Well, I mean, if you have any comments, we're anxious to hear.
Well, I think that your continued concern about the mold issue is well placed. I continue to get comments on a daily basis about people who are having issues. I'm not sure that we've gotten to the bottom of it yet, but we are, I believe, trying. It's a little bit frustrating for me to hear that it's all resolved when it just pretty clearly isn't.
Well, actually, what we heard was it never was a problem, and we just made it up.
I think you have another speaker who will be able to tell you more details. I find
myself
in an awkward position here.
And maybe it's a little bit different in your county, but doesn't the superintendent report to the Board of Education? I mean, aren't you supposed to be the ones overseeing what goes on?
Yes, we are. We are supposed to be
the
ones.
You're not happy with the progress?
Well, as you've pointed out, that before you can really make good progress, you have to acknowledge that there's an issue. And we still seem to be unable to acknowledge what the issue specifically is. I just heard from parents yesterday about an issue that is at the same school that has had ongoing issues, and it's extremely frustrating. As a taxpayer in Howard County, it's extremely frustrating to me that we keep spending money trying to fix an issue, and we don't seem to be making the kind of progress that you would like to with the amount of money we've spent on it. I think that we are trying to address the moisture issues and the leaks and the all of the things that contribute to having mold and mold-related illnesses, air quality, whatever euphemism you want to use for it. We have people who have become highly sensitive to their indoor air environment, and the indoor air environment that we are providing for a number of our schools is harmful to some of the kids and the staff that are in those schools. We've been trying to give transfers when they're requested. You know, if you don't have an allergy, you don't have a problem. If you do, it's a big problem. And I think we still have a problem.
Has the board been trying to address this with the staff?
The board's currently trying to address a number of issues. The question of mold has been an ongoing issue. It has become part of the MPIA issue. It has become part of the dispute between the different supervisory groups. The new board believes that it has a role to play in making sure that these issues are promptly and adequately addressed, and we are working very hard to make sure that role is respected and is able to be effective.
Well, I mean, I don't want to misquote the superintendent, but I asked if this was related to the discussion we had last year about mold, and I think she said there wasn't a mold problem, and he asked about people that were getting sick, and she said it's not true, none of them were. And then she said she had documentation. Basically, it sounded like we were just confused last year. But it's a huge concern among the residents of Howard County, and it sounds like nobody's accepted responsibility for it or willing to fix it. Is that true?
It's an awkward position that I find myself in standing here, but I agree. I believe that we have a serious issue, and I do not believe that it has been acknowledged or appropriately responded to. And the new board intends to make sure that it is. And to the extent that that has created a dispute between the new board and the superintendent, that's a matter of public record at this point that we're working on resolving that.
To have the communication and whatever information you have shared with the board staff so that we can stay on top of the issue, because we do have an obligation to the taxpayers. We are redoing a request that it was $39 million, is now down to $21 million because the county didn't agree to some of it. But we have ways to make sure that they pay attention. We certainly got Baltimore City and Baltimore County to address the concerns of the citizens, and we may have to do the same thing in Howard County.
Well, as much as you can help us make sure that that happens, that's great. I agree 100% with what you just said, but for those of us who are standing here, our main concern is to make sure that that sack of potatoes is in a safe environment and that we are not creating potentially lifelong health issues for them. I am personally not convinced that that's the case right now.
Okay.
And it is my deepest commitment, in spite of any other obstacles that are thrown at us, that that situation will be resolved for the health and welfare of our students and staff as one of our very, very top priorities.
Thank you very much. We have Linda Brown, who's a Howard County teacher. I think that wanted to speak as well.
I think she decided it was...
Not anybody else that with your group that wanted to speak? We have Vicki Catrania, a Howard County parent, is also with us. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, and Treasurer Kopp. My name is Vicki Catrania, and I would like to say a few words about the capital improvement projects that are before you from Howard County. First, I would like to make it clear that I fully support the funding for these HVAC renovations. I wish you could do more. I've spent the last 2 years engaged in advocating for healthy air quality at Glenwood Middle School. It's become clear that it was not just isolated incidents of mold outbreaks. It's been a chronic at least five-year issue that has never really gone away. And I think my concern with future HVAC renovations is we're going to get to a point like we are at Glenwood where maybe we weren't honest with how bad the building was. We didn't have the whole history. I've spent a lot of time collecting emails and documents, and it shows the breadth of the issue. And if we had that information to consider before proceeding with extensive HVAC renovations, maybe we would have thought differently and taken a different direction. Because as it stands now, the building is not fixed, despite what the school system says it's not. I hear everything. My own daughter is starting to become sensitized. She's actually getting sick in a room that my oldest got sick in 4 years ago. And it's incredibly frustrating. I'm glad that we only have 4 months left. But it's difficult when you get a text from your daughter that she's having stabbing pains in her head and blurry vision. And it's the same room your 18-year-old had issues in. So despite what is said, I believe that Glenn and a lot of people, if you ask staff, honestly, it's a sick building. And we spent a lot of money, over $10 million probably, on two different HVAC renovations. I think if we had the information, if staff were free to speak and building the experts of the building, custodians, the HVAC techs, they know those buildings, if we had their input. And I'm with the four projects upcoming, I want to see that we can do it differently and maybe get the whole story of the buildings, get the history, talk to staff, make sure it's buildings that it can be rectified, make sure we're doing the right thing. Because what's more important than the indoor air quality? We shouldn't be shortchanging it. Totally gone off. I have 5 pages of notes and I have not read one thing. also, I want to make sure the money is spent wisely. Are we just low bidding everything and not getting the higher quality because we want to, come out under budget? Are we more apt to have shoddy construction and less qualified companies doing these projects? We have roof replacements done and then just chronic roof leaks. I don't know what's going on. That shouldn't be happening. And, also the Office of Legislative Audits found that the way that we bid construction projects is through a consortium, which is against code. And I think that lends to, companies not really having to be competitive with their bids or do high-quality work because they know they're always going to be getting the opportunity to work on a project with the school system. So I guess that's why I'm here today. First of all, thank you for continuing to allow the public to come in and speak to you, because when we can't be heard on the local level, this is so helpful to feel like we're being heard. And all of the staff members really appreciate it, too, that they don't feel like they can come up here and speak, and I'm speaking for them. So we really appreciate this opportunity. And I think that's really... And to speak to when you say children's hospitalizations, they weren't over-admitted. They were taken to the hospital from the school in an ambulance. So it's just semantics if you call that a hospitalization or not. But they were sick enough to be taken in an ambulance from the school. So one student twice. So do you have any questions?
How big is the group of parents that you communicate with and stay in touch with?
Tons. I just heard from a staff member and a parent at Pointers Run Elementary, which is one of the schools, nosebleeds certain areas of the school, chronic sinus. In fact, there's, you know, humidity because the malfunctioning HVACs are just repositories for mold. And I heard from Rockburn Elementary also. Mount View has had a lot of issues. I think taking out the carpeting has really helped, and I haven't heard, and I even reached out to a few people, and they said everything, it's much better there. So, I don't think all these buildings are too far gone to be remediated, but Pointers Run and Rockburn have had years-long mold intrusion issues and health complaints. The problem is, you know, we send the school-based staff out to assess health issues, but they don't have medical backgrounds, and they discard it. They think we're all crazy. We're all making it up, and they're not a doctor. They can't say whether something is related to the building or is an allergy or not. So staff don't feel like they're heard. They feel like, you know, what's the point, really? So, I mean, mold happens. It's what you do with it and how honest you are. And, you know, no one wants to sue their school system. I think the school system has been operating, you know, to mitigate responsibility or liability when at the expense of being honest and giving parents the information they need to make decisions for their kids. If they knew there was mold at a school, maybe they could, you know, transfer, or that, you know, instead of exposing them to the two paraeducators who filed workman's comp claims, they're still having to medicate heavily to be in the buildings.
Well, keep up the great work, because if you don't speak up, no one will. And Dr. Salmon,
sorry, I went completely over my time, I'm sure.
Help navigate some of this. It just seems very unfortunate. And I just want to say, hey, people thought I was crazy a while ago. So
crazy
things happen. Things get better. Mm-hmm. So don't doubt yourself.
Oh, I won't. Thank you. But this is very helpful to be at least feel like somebody's paying attention. So thank you.
Dr. Sandler,
any questions?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we will, I think we do have a report on this issue, and we will make sure that your office gets a copy of that report as soon as possible.
It's already completed?
As far as I know, but I can't really say until I reread it, but we do have some information that we can certainly share
that
may enlighten the.
We'd love to take a look at the report, and you know, we have an obligation as the chief fiscal officers of the state that we're dealing with hundreds of millions, in fact, billions of dollars in funding.
We are not unique. I'm sure that there are many schools in
our
in this
people position. Thinking that they don't have to answer questions or be accountable is unacceptable, and. Look, if we have a whole group of people in the Board of Ed saying there's a problem, we have staff saying there's no problem, we're going to have an independent group like the state board and or the IAC, which is an agent of the Board of Public Works.
I like the word independent.
Go out and do an independent review of this to see if it's a problem and see if it needs to get fixed.
All right.
And if it means we've got to hold up money in order to make sure it happens, then we'll certainly talk about doing that.
Right.
Thank you.
My daughter will be here next week as a page, so if someone comes up to you and says, I'm the mold lady's daughter, that's her.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions on Howard County? We're going to move on to the Maryland School for the Blind. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, and thank you, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Franchot, Treasurer Kopp, and Superintendent Simon. My name is Mike Bina, President of the Maryland School for the Blind. MSB requests full funding for the preschool and the newcomer hall projects. These two critical projects are the third and fourth phases of the MSB campus master plan. MSB is most grateful that 2 years ago, our facilities for multi-disabled students, the first phase of our campus master plan, were opened, and these programs or facilities have been transformative and very innovative. And in addition, this past August, we began the new school year in a newly constructed Phase 2 autism blind facilities. And I might point out as a metric, change orders on this project were 0.75%. And I believe the industry standard is if you're around 3 to 5%, you're still good. So we surprised ourselves, but that was with good stewardship of public funds, good value engineering, a good contractor, good design, and careful attention to detail. These specialized facilities are meeting our students' needs. We're substantially enhancing their safety and achievement. And parents throughout the state, I might point out to the board, are especially thankful and appreciative. And one parent told me, Dr. Bina, the facilities you had before were a bigger barrier to my son's disability multiple disabilities than his multiple disabilities he was born with. So we have many parents who are noticing the big difference. We thank the Board of Public Works for the support. The preschool project is on schedule to be completed this August in time for the start of the new school year, at which time we hope to begin the essential renovation of Newcomer Hall. The school respectfully requests the Board of Public Works approve full funding to benefit Maryland's 24 local school systems that MSB serves based on the critical importance of preschool programming, the unsuitability of the current facilities, and the 78% increase in the preschool enrollment in the past 5 years. And we did save $1 million by combining this preschool program with the outreach program, and this eliminated the need to build two separate buildings. And this also reduced our 10-year campus master plan to 9, which results in saving of money and also reduces program disruption. So thank you to you, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Controller Franchot for your consideration and your demonstrated support for the Maryland School for Blind efforts to provide quality programs for blind and visually impaired students from throughout the state of Maryland.
Well, I just want to thank you very much. I don't have any questions or concerns. I fully support the request and the recommendation, and I just want to commend you for the great work that the Maryland School for the Blind does in meeting the educational needs of your students. And I know it's a difficult job, but day in and day out, you do a great job meeting those challenges. So I just want to say thank you.
We would love for visitors to come to the school and see the facilities. I think you would be impressed with your, what your support is doing. It's more than a building. It is a place where our quality programs can be implemented.
I understand you had some recent visitors from Vietnam.
Vietnam, yes, we did.
What did they think of you?
If I could tell a quick story, they came here to look at our facilities, and they went home, and they're going to benchmark our facilities. But what they were most impressed with, that Maryland takes care of its students with multiple disabilities, and they said, when we go home, we think we are going to maybe not just take care of them to meet their daily needs, but we're going to educate them, because all students can learn, and all students do learn. And we're also getting other schools for the blind and schools for the deaf around the country coming to visit our program because they have seen what Maryland is doing, and they're very pleased with the support that we're getting in the state from the IEC, the state superintendent, Maryland State Department of Ed, and the Board of Public Works. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Montgomery County.
Good afternoon. I'm Michael Durso, President of the Montgomery County Board of Education. Here today also is Dr. Jack Smith, our superintendent, Dr. Andrew Zuckerman, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. James Song, Director, Department of Facilities Management. We'd like to thank you for your past support and ask that you fully fund our current request. The Interagency Committee on School Construction has recommended funding $26.78 million of our $119 million request, and we are here today to appeal for the balance of those funds. Before you is our written testimony and the list of projects included in our appeal, which only begin to illustrate the depth and breadth of those needs. Our appeal includes planning approval for 16 projects, planning approval and construction funding for an additional 6 projects, and construction funding for 7. Completed projects are indicated as priority numbers 1 through 4 and 21. Construction contracts have been awarded, and construction has actually begun for projects listed as numbers 17 to 20, 22, 23 to 26, and 31 to 34. With the need to provide permanent seats for our student population and address the aging inventory of older school facilities, funding for our capital improvements program continues to be a critical issue. Our county continues to provide substantial financial support in our efforts to increase the capacity of our schools and maintain and improve older school facilities. However, even this commitment of local funds is not sufficient to address those needs. In order for us to meet our obligations to our students, we depend on the state and our partnership to provide quality facilities through the school construction program. Additional funds are essential to meet the need for more classrooms and better schools. Improving the teaching and learning environment in our schools is an important step towards ensuring that Maryland remains the number one state in education nationwide. State aid in recent years has fallen behind Montgomery County School Construction Program. MCPS students comprise 17.9% of the state's total student enrollment, and therefore we believe at a minimum a fair share of state school construction funding should be on par with the share of the state's students. We will continue to do our part to keep our construction program cost effective and implement those best practices to deliver high returns on investments. We know the importance of our fiduciary responsibility with state construction dollars, and I can assure you we continue to utilize state construction funding efficiently and effectively. We urge you to consider our appeal for funding. Thank you for your past support and for the opportunity to appear before you today. And next is our superintendent, Dr. Jack Smith.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Smith. Good to see you back.
Nice to see you, sir. Good afternoon, Governor.
Montgomery County's gain is our loss. So that, you know, mm-hmm. Thank you for your job as helping us at the state
thank
level.
Thank you. It's good to be back, and thank you for this opportunity.
Congratulations on your appointment as superintendent.
Thank you.
Now, I also want to, before you start, I want to commend you on your swift, immediate action to remediate some of the deficiencies in your roof inspection program that the IAC noted. I understand, you know, that you guys are faced with incredible enrollment challenges, more so, I think, than anybody in the state. And while some of our systems have, you know, seriously declining populations, you have just the opposite problem, kind of bursting at the seams, I guess.
Yes.
I just wanted to commend you on that. And I want to just say that, you know, as we talked earlier today, I'm not sure how long you've been here, but several times we've talked about Harford County, for example, is doing a dual approach where they're looking at the possibility of some considerable cost savings in construction. Mm-hmm. Other people had different ways of going about that. But with your price tag of all the school construction needs that you're going to have, really would, you know, like to make sure that you guys are taking a look at ways to build schools cheaper so we can get more bang for the buck and we can get more schools built in Montgomery County for the same dollars if we can.
Absolutely, Governor. And if I may respond, we're going to have to look at things differently. In fact, I was just talking to Senator Serafini out in the hall about the alternative, and we don't have very many of them in Maryland, as you know, but the alternative ways of thinking about the use of space, and I've shared with our county council that there are opportunities in commercial space for specialized programs for 11th and 12th graders, for example, which would mitigate some of the data I have on my page about 10,000 more secondary students in the next 5 years. So we completely agree, and we're going to work a lot in the coming year, and we're eager to engage with the state on that effort.
Thank you. Didn't mean to interrupt your
presentation. It's okay. But as you just said, we have we have 159,022 students this year, and we expect to grow to 168,000 students in the next 5 years. We've gained 21,000 students, mostly at the elementary level. That would be 28 elementary schools since 2007. The growth is pushing into our secondary schools. In fact, the good news is we hope to be level in elementary enrollment next year. So that's good news, but our secondaries continue to grow. And when you consider 10,000 students over 5 years, that's the equivalent of 2 middle schools and 3 high schools. So it's significant. 35% of our students qualify for free and reduced price meals, and that's 55,000 students right now today in Montgomery County. We also continue to enroll almost half of the English for speakers of other languages students, providing services to 23,000 students. And I know that's an area of interest for you, Mr. Franchot, that you've been asking about today. While the county has provided substantial support, and we're grateful that, we have to address this growth in a number of ways, and we depend on the state aid that you provide. We appreciate it. And I recognize personally, as someone who's worked in other states, that not everyone does it the way Maryland does it. And so I really appreciate everything that's done here to increase school capacity and keep state-of-the-art facilities. We certainly want to close the gaps we have in facilities, and we certainly also want to take this chance to say thank you to Dr. Salmon, the IC, and the public school construction staff. I've worked with them for about 12 years, 13 years, and they are excellent.
Thank you for recognizing
and
their
absolutely, they really are. And so we really appreciate your concerns and your willingness to partner with us on these things, and we respectfully ask that you consider our appeal today, and we stand ready to answer any questions that we can answer.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, I had a couple of questions. The fifth priority on the HVAC replacement projects, I see four recommended, but I have a question about priority order number five, Silver Spring International Middle, which is the old Blair High School.
Yes.
That is such a famous location in my old legislative district, but now has been moved over to Four Corners, and yes. What a fabulous school that is. Congratulations on all that. But there's just one piece of unfinished business over there at the old Blair School, which is that auditorium. And I wonder, since apparently it is involved or responsible for three consecutive not adequate ratings in the original, in 2012, 2013, 2014, I wonder what we could do to deal with the fact that this, I guess, basically abandoned auditorium is now affecting the health of the building.
It's a very strange circumstance. The old Blair High School became Silver Spring International Middle School and Sligo Creek Elementary School.
Correct.
With an unused auditorium in the middle of it. So you have one continuous building with a space in the middle. That was causing us roof problems, and we've worked on those to cure those right away. Even though the space is unused, we don't want it to contaminate the rest of the building. And so we've not only done roof work, but we also need the HVAC for that entire space to change the air handling and all those qualities. And Mr. Song can certainly give you additional technical information about that. It's been something that's been going on for more than 10 years. And it needs to be fixed, is what it amounts to. We need to fix our part, and we're asking you to work with us on the HVAC.
Okay. Mr. Song?
Sure. So the auditorium space that has been abandoned in place, again, is not programmatically required, nor is eligible for state funding because it's not a part of the middle school or elementary school program. But to give you some brighter outlook, we conducted a feasibility study last year to look at converting that space into the classroom spaces, because Silver Spring International Settlement has been growing quite rapidly among all the other schools. So the study is there, so it will be considered as part of the upcoming capital budget to see whether that can qualify for an addition. If do so, our plan is to look at converting that auditorium space into the classroom spaces in the very near future.
Okay, great.
If it's cost effective, that certainly would be worth looking at instead of having an empty space.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you might look at demolition of that space instead of building a new roof and see if it, that makes sense.
Could I, while I've got you up there, Mr. Song, just ask about the infrared moisture detectors that you were researching and possibly procuring to help us with our roof moisture inspection results?
Sure. It is one of a part of our action plan that we listed among many in terms of being proactive and focusing on preventative maintenance of our roof program. And since the dialogue began last April and May with public school construction staff, we have moved very swiftly into a lot of these action plans, and that is one of the technologies that we are benefiting from. And there are multiple level of types, and including area photographs in using infrared technology to detect where the potential moisture, the protection failures are. So we're utilizing some of these technologies to move to pinpoint some of the roof leak areas.
Good. And the training program for the private sector, is that moving forward?
Yeah, that is absolutely moving forward. We have a great partnership with some of the manufacturers of the roof as well as the local contractors, and we're creating either annual or semi-annual training programs to keep up with the latest materials and technologies that are valuable to bring our staff up to date in terms of how they are maintaining our roofs.
Great. And if I could just thank Mr. Durso. I know the Board of Ed decided to start school after Labor Day. I understand that's a difficult thing that you guys had to swallow a pill there that you didn't want to. But personally, I'm grateful because without Montgomery County looking at it and saying, let's try it for a year, it would have been, a little more chaotic. So thank you for doing that. And if you could keep us all in the loop as to the glitches and problems you come into, is maybe there's something that can be smoothed out.
Sure. No, obviously we will. We'll see how this plays out, but we're glad to be cooperative.
Thank you.
And Dr. Smith, could you just comment on the issue of immigrants?
Absolutely.
Or undocumented kids or whatever.
Sure, yes.
Innocent people.
Certainly an area of extreme concern for us. We've been using many prongs of response, especially since earlier in the fall when the level of anxiety that was already there went up. And what we've done is reached out directly to the students and the families through meetings and videos. We've reached out to all students through our curriculum. We have parent community coordinators that are multilingual that go into our communities. We have pupil personnel workers that work with them. And, for example, in the last 2 months, we've sent information to our principals weekly and the other staff I just named around how to make sure that we're preventing problems as well as responding to them. Area of extreme concern for us.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Has the incidence of they're not hate crimes because I don't think people are being prosecuted. I don't know, but have incidences been reduced at all?
Yes, they have. They continue to happen intermittently and in small ways, drawings on bathroom walls and things like that. But they've definitely been diminishing over the weeks.
They're not hate crimes.
They're certainly hateful and inappropriate and wrong. And we've made that clear in our community.
Thank you. Any other questions for Montgomery County? No. Thank you all very much.
Governor Hogan, if I could, I'd like to thank you for the operating budget as well. Very much appreciated in public education.
On the operating funds?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we are very pleased for the third year in a row to have record funding for education, and we fully funded 100% of every single penny in every single jurisdiction according to the formulas set by the legislature.
It makes an important positive difference. Thank
you very much.
I think, Dr. Salmon, this is another instance where the question arises to me about planning funds being constrained when actually the locals are forward funding.
Right. I agree. Again, it's part of the review process we're going to undertake with the new director.
Oh, good. You make it, I said.
We have Prince George's County up next. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Leslie Watts. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Prince George's County Public Schools. I'm here today with Mr. Mark Fawcett, the Associate Superintendent of Supporting Services and supporting staff from our organization, representing the team of planners, architects, engineers, and educators who developed the FY 2018-2023 Capital Improvement Program. We appreciate...
Superintendent's not able to join us today?
No, sir, he's not. We appreciate the 75% recommendation from the IAC, to fund $20.7 million of the original $91 million request, and thank you for the initial commitment. However, we appear today to emphasize the urgency of our request and appeal for the full funding and planning approval for all of these critical projects. Our FY18 CIP continues the implementation of our first cycle of projects established in the 2017 Educational Facilities Master Plan, which was presented to our Board of Education on May the 12th, 2016, and earned the congratulations of the Maryland Department of Planning on September 14th, 2016. Our master planning efforts were informed by an impartial full-scale assessment of 2015-2016 called the Master Plan Support Projects. The groundbreaking work of this study developed a plan to bring every school in our portfolio into a state-of-art facility, prioritized the deficiencies most critical to student well-being, ensured that each school would be fully supportive of modern education, and examined utilization and enrollment projects, resulting in a plan that would right-size the inventory of our buildings. The Master Plan Support Project set the framework for the 2017 EFMP, resulting in the strategic plan. Divided into 3 6-year cycles with a projected cost of $8.5 billion over a 20-year period. this significant cost more than triples the current annual capital budget of our system. And although the whole of this funding is not wholly identified, it is essential that PGCPS moves forward and adopts this long-term vision. We must invest in the smart, holistic EFMP projects that have been identified to maximize the impact of capital dollars and deliver comprehensively modern facilities to our students, staff, and community. Our FY18 CIP includes the major projects weighted towards addressing middle school deficiencies and significant overutilization concerns, plus the systemic replacement projects necessary in the fleet of buildings where more than 50% of our buildings are 40 years of age. Our total request is for $91.5 million, reflecting the use of $11.8 million reserved in the contingency account for Prince George's County, and includes $28 million for the completion of 3 previously approved renovations, $5 million for the planned construction start of 2 replacement major renovations, $43 million of our most important systemic replacement projects, $9 million for reimbursement of 4 forward-funded projects, and planning approval to renovate or replace 4 middle schools, 2 high schools, and 1 environmental center. Specifically, we hope to obtain the full balance of funding for all previously approved projects, such as the Bowie High School Annex Limited renovation and the William Wirt Middle School replacement projects that were approved in FY17, so we can continue imminent plans to start construction in FY18. Likewise, we request the approval of all major projects presented in the local planning approval so we can fully pursue the design of these needed new and replacement facilities, as well as full funding of the critical systemic replacements included in the CIP. In closing, I hope this testimony has provided you with a clear picture of the needs of Prince George's County Public Schools and a justification for the level of funding requested in our FY2018 CIP request. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today and appreciate your continued support in enabling us to provide our county students with efficient and sustainable schools that are bright, inviting, safe, and fully supportive of today's and tomorrow's educational programs.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anybody else in your group have something to say, or are they just there for questions?
Questions, sir.
Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I have some questions. Where's the superintendent?
Sorry, he's not available today.
Well, what does that mean? Is he just not interested?
No, I don't think that's the case.
Nobody knows where he is?
We had a planned county council meeting this morning. We've gone through that. Part of that meeting was canceled this morning at 11:30. Excuse me, 10:30, we had a meeting.
You know, following up on the comptroller's comment there.
Yes, sir.
Prince George's County receives the most money for education of any jurisdiction in the entire state.
Yes, sir.
And they were fully funded again this year. You're asking for 90-some million dollars from us today.
Yes, sir.
And the fact that the county executive and the superintendent and none of the council members, nobody felt it was important to show up, is a little bit discouraging. That's my first comment.
Yes,
you might
sir.
Want to pass that on to them when you get back. Next time they ask for $90 million, they don't want to come and address us themselves.
Yes, sir.
Secondly, I noticed that your top 12 priorities were rejected or deferred by the IAC for several reasons. Lack of design progress, lack of feasibility studies, and lack of planning approval.
Yes, sir.
And given that you just spoke about the enormous need for renovations and new buildings in your updated master plan, I guess my question is, why didn't you do all the work on these 12 projects? What was the problem?
So some of the projects we are still in the planning phases. Stephen Decatur Middle School, we're ready to move forward with this project. Tulip Grove Elementary, we are going out to bid in the next month. And some of these other projects, as you stated, we are still in the planning projects, and we are a little behind on some of
them. So you're asking for the money, but you haven't done the planning?
We had asked initially at the beginning of this year. Yes, sir, we did.
Are you having difficulties getting that work done? Because, you know, we have the Secretary of Planning and the Secretary of the Department of General Services here. If you need assistance in
in advice on technical or design or planning issues, the state would be happy to help the county. They can't get it done themselves.
Yeah, we're actually in the throes of designing most of these. We might be a little bit behind in our designs in terms of DDSD submissions, but they're moving right along on schedule at this point.
So they were just prematurely requesting the money before they got them done?
Well, we were requesting the money for finishing the design and hiring the architects for the newer projects, but we're using our own money to design.
Right. I just know that the IAC deferred them because you didn't have the work done. I'm just reading the report.
I know. The comments are a little old.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions because I've been hearing a lot from parents and community members about unacceptably cold classrooms in Bowie, and I hear that you're providing space heaters in some of those classrooms, which bring the temperature up into the low 60s. I read an article in the Capital Gazette where the director of building services, Sam Stefanelli, is he here?
Yes,
Sam, how are you? I'm going to get to quote you in the newspaper. Like me, sometimes you may be misquoted, but that's okay. The quote is, the county doesn't have the money to replace all the failing heat systems at its schools. So, quote, his department must do the best it can to provide temporary fixes. Those are the space heaters, I guess.
Yeah, that didn't come out in the newspaper like it was
articulated.
But what we were talking about was we had some issues. They were talking about Band-Aid approach to fixing heating units. What I was explaining to them is I'm trying to do this out of my operating expenses to keep the heat running. I don't have enough money in operating expenses to replace.
Why is that, you think?
Because that's a capital expenditure. We use a capital program to replace equipment. That was the conversation we were having, and it was actually a very good conversation about the capital progress, and we're still working with the parents in Bowie to explain the capital process so we can move forward. The issue was that I think Whitehall Elementary is where we're having an issue. There were several units that we're having trouble with, and I'm actually replacing two of those out of our operating budget because I have no other choice. However, that puts a damper on what we have left for preventative maintenance and the normal maintenance of our schools. But it wasn't that we don't have the funds to replace the equipment. I just can't replace the equipment with operating funds.
Okay. So then somewhere else in the article, perhaps, or there's some mention of 20 schools that don't have any heat at all. Where did that come from? That's not true.
What that conversation was about, that if we get up in the morning and I have, I may have said 20, if I have 20 schools that heat is not on at this time, my mechanics are going there first. Then they will work their way through other processes to get to schools, such as Whitehall, who had two classrooms. So we may not get there till later in the morning, but we are coming.
Okay, so it went on, and this may not be accurate also, said that you have 800 open work orders for heat-related problems inside 230 school buildings.
Yes. At the time, that's what we had.
What's it now?
That changes daily.
Okay, so I'm glad to see the HVAC replacement projects being requested. That's terrific. But I guess I'm having trouble understanding why, if Caroline County can figure out how to put split systems in to heat and cool their classrooms for a de minimis amount of money, $2,400 per classroom.
And that's what we're looking to do at Whitehall. That's what you.
Yeah, but what about the other 230 school, 29 schools,
well,
et cetera?
The issue with the heat is not necessarily that it needs to be replaced. It's just old. A lot of it's past its life expectancy. And when we get temperatures in the 10, 15 degrees, it struggles, and there's a lot of care to keep the equipment operating. So my staff starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, every school morning, to make sure that the kids have heat when they get there. But we do have issues with some of the old equipment overnight and in the morning, but we're there every day to take care of those issues and do our best to provide heat for students.
Okay, so I have a little bit of concern because Prince George's County is a place that I go to a lot and visit, make a lot. It's a wonderful part of our state. Everybody there, all the elected officials claim that education is the top priority, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have Dr. Maxwell over there as the superintendent, who, you know, is a tremendous asset. We've got Rashern Baker, the county executive. Where the heck is everybody? Nobody. You've got delegation downstairs, which is fabulously powerful, and all we hear is education's everything over there. Well, where are some people that would stand up and say, yeah, this is a priority for us, and maybe they could listen to the fact that you have to send your people out at 4 in the morning to get some basic service provided. God knows what goes on with the air conditioning when it's hot. So who's in charge? Who's administering? Who's managing? Who's overseeing? I criticize Baltimore County for being negligent. Why isn't Prince George's subject to that?
All I can tell you is I'm a lifelong resident of Prince George's County. I take my job very seriously. My staff starts at 4 a.m., not because it's required to keep the equipment. We're there to ensure that when the kids start to arrive at school at 7, 8 a.m., that we've got a 3 or 4 hour window to make sure that we're not interrupting the educational process. That's something I've decided to do on my own. It's not required by anybody, and sometimes there is no need for it. But we're there, and we start our day that early just to assure, because the educational process is what's most important, in my opinion.
I don't think the comptroller was directing that at you.
Yes,
I think the staff is probably working very hard. I think he was directing it at the officials who didn't show up today. Quite frankly, it is a little bit insulting because I heard some of your folks in Prince George's County say, including your county executive, say something about us cutting education funding for Prince George's County, which is complete nonsense. We fully funded every single penny according to the formulas. It's an increase over last year. It's every cent that you could have possibly been expecting. And they get more than any other jurisdiction in the state, including Baltimore City. And to say we don't get any support for education is ridiculous. And then to not show up here, not none of them, no county executive, no senator, no delegate, no council member, no superintendent, to ask for $90 million on top of the number one pile of money that anyone gets that they're complaining about, it's really insulting. And I think you should go back and tell them that. Hopefully they'll watch this video too. And I'm tempted to hold up all the money until they show up to come talk to us, but that probably wouldn't be fair to you and your students.
We start getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I don't want to
work. Yeah, but let me just ask you to call over to Caroline County and go over and check. Unless you have some of those split units, they work beautifully.
We actually were met with our contractor yesterday about the White House situation, and that's exactly what we're looking to get.
And how are you going to pay for that?
I'm paying for that out of my operating. I have no choice. I'm providing electric heat right now. I have to provide a system for those two classrooms, so we're going to provide it out of operating funds.
Well, the great news is we got you 100% of your operating funds.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you very much. Next, we got Queen Anne's County.
Good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, and Treasurer Cupp. My name is Greg Pluski. I'm the interim superintendent for the Queen Anne's County Public Schools. Joining me today are Mr. Sid Pinder, our Director of Operations, and Ms. Carla Pullen, our Facilities Planner. The Board of Education of Queen Anne's County wishes to extend our thank you to you and for the support, the generosity that you provide to us and our school system, facilities, and our needs. The state has provided millions of dollars for renovation and construction of our school buildings, and our community is very appreciative in the investment in our county. In fact, this last year we have conducted a facilities assessment report, which actually arms us with 20 years of data to be able to work with our local officials on our capital projects. In summary, our FY18 projects include Graysonville Elementary School addition, the Kent Island High School fire alarm upgrade, the Kent Island High School energy management system, the Sudlersville Elementary School partial roof replacement, and Sudlersville Elementary School exterior door replacement, and Bayside Elementary School generator. In conclusion, we hope that you find our projects sufficient for your consideration and our much-needed funding requests. Our staff is here to answer any questions or concern that you may have. And we thank you for your time and consideration and look forward to your continued partnership to improve our facilities in Queen Anne's County.
Thank you very much, all of you, for coming. Any questions on Queen Anne's County?
I'd like to just salute you for the Graysonsville Elementary School. I went there in October to give them a Silver Hammer Award.
Yes, that's right.
But 4 years before, you got barely an adequate report from that school, and then all of a sudden you're up at 95%, which is up on Mount Olympus as far as taking care of the school. So it's a complete turnaround, and just, you know, kudos to whoever is sending the messages down as to what the proper management oversight should be.
Certainly.
Job well done. And I'd like to see the, you know, the Suttersville Elementary School get a new roof. I understand it was built in 1914, the school, so
yes, sir.
Probably isn't the first roof, but give my hats off to your maintenance staff, particularly that whoever turned around Graysonville.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have Somerset County.
Good afternoon. John Gaddis, Superintendent of Schools. Before I begin, I'd like to introduce a number of people that came with us and made the trek from Somerset County. We have Mrs. Danielle Haley, who is our Supervisor of Facilities and Capital Planning. We have Mrs. Tracy Bartomy, who is our Director of Schools. Behind them, we have our Board Chairman, retired Brigadier General Warner Sumner. We have a Somerset County Commissioner, Mr. Jerry Boston. Over here, we have Mr. Tom Davis, Deputy Superintendent of Schools, and Mr. Charles Fisher, Somerset County Commissioner, Vice President, Vice Chair. So, Mr. Governor, we want to take the opportunity to thank you to be able to talk to you today. You have our, excuse me, you have our letter. I instead am going to talk to you about this project. We've been here for a number of years. You know the importance of this project. The J.E. Hawes Vocational School is over 40 years old. The building that we have does not meet the needs of our students. Our county government, and thank you to our commissioners and the rest of the commissioners back home, were able to secure a $7.4 million loan to be able to match the local portion of the project. I know that doesn't seem like a lot of money, but in Somerset County, that is a tremendous amount of money. That shows their commitment to the project, but it shows their commitment to the board and our students. And so we are here to appeal the one project. We have worked very closely with all the agencies to make this happen, and we are looking forward to being able to offer a school that will help our children and our students become college and career ready, and one that will be comparable to what is being built around the state. We have done a lot of things. The comptroller was just down at Deal Island Elementary School in December. And, Governor, we appreciate you coming down. We have seen you more than any other governor in a long time down in Somerset County. And we appreciate that because we like to say we're strong and mighty.
I love it down there.
Yeah, it's great. And I said to you 2 years ago, I pointed out the governor, Tay Miller Tall, to your right, and I asked you to come down besides the third Wednesday for the clam bake, and you have. And
I've been down there probably more than anybody except Governor Toss.
Probably you have. You have. You have. So I'm not going to belabor the point. This is a very important project to us, and we need to move forward on this project and hope to have shovels in the ground in September.
I just want to thank you for coming in today. And, you know, I know that the IAC recommended deferring this request, $14.7 million. To replace the J. Miller Tallis Technology and Career Center. And, you know, I don't want to see your only request be deferred. And I know they cited a lack of design progress. You know, I understand that Somerset County doesn't possess the resources that some of the large school systems do and what they have at their disposal. And, you know, I just want to reiterate that whatever assistance we can provide, if the IAC, if the State Board, if our Planning Secretary, if our Secretary of DGS, or any of the design, if we can help you with that so we can get the thing up to speed, because I'd really like to see this approved, and I understand their concern of the IAC, but, you know, it's we have a lot of expertise at our disposal. We want to help you. I absolutely would love to see this project move forward, and I'm not sure exactly what we can provide, but I want to get it done. In the worst-case scenario, if we can't get this thing done now, if we come back in May, we have another round, and I want to get everything completed so we can get you approved by then at the latest.
Well, our big issue was waiting on the county funding, and we had to wait, and they worked the USDA.
I got you.
Once we got that, we were able to move forward. That's been
the last. So you didn't have the county funding to do all this.
Right. Exactly. We had to wait on
now
that.
Now you got the county funding. You're catching up.
And I had been told that would be done. We're on track for everything for February.
Well, that's terrific. And, you know, I'm 100% in favor of the request. And
we appreciate that. We appreciate the support.
Yeah, thank you.
So I happen to think it's a terrific project also. So you're saying it can be, the design can be prepared for just documents in time for at least to be considered for. Okay, great.
Perfect.
So let me ask.
What?
So
this is
the day before Valentine's.
Oh, wow.
Maybe Somerset County doesn't feel
there
about
you
it.
Go.
Yeah. Let me ask about, I'm glad that you're here, Dr. Gaddis, because I just wanted to ask you about your concern that the process whereby the IAC has determined what the per square foot reimbursement rate is going to be.
Right.
It's 6% lower than the fiscal year 2017 figure, which that's even with a 4% year-to-year cost escalation factored in. Obviously, that's good news, but I think there's some concerns about whether the figures are accurate for a community like yours where there's not a lot of competition.
That has been, and thank you for bringing that up. That has been one of our concerns, and we have talked about that with the number one. This has been a double. Well, we've been hit twice with the reduction to 315 per square feet. That's cut about $2 million off the project. So from the top, we had to cut that. Ms. Haley has looked at projects that have been on the shore. We're coming up with a number closer to 400 a square foot because of the travel time to the shore. A lot of the work that has to be done is by companies across the bay. There's a significant cost to house, to travel, and to bring materials down. So we are very concerned about that square foot rate and what it means to us, especially on the lowest part of the shore, which is where they're going to have to come to do this project.
Well, there's no question that's a concern, but I can't imagine it's $100 a square foot to take things all the way down to Somerset.
Well,
I'll drive them down there for that.
Good.
Yeah.
We know construction is coming.
Nobody's bidding. Yeah, I got you. That's a bigger problem, probably.
So why wouldn't they travel? So that's more probably.
Because you don't have the construction companies nearby, and they don't want to go all the way down.
And we reach out. I mean, we run into this all the time. We reach out as much as we can, but we still are targeted. Yeah. This is an appealing project.
Understand.
So we're hopeful that we're employing every strategy possible with the help of the Department of Planning and IAC as well as construction.
Good.
Yes, everyone, every strategy we can. That's
wonderful.
So,
maybe we'll have to find some contractors we can lean on to go down there and get you a better price.
Mm-hmm.
Could I ask Dr. Salmon, were areas like Somerset, did they have, when you looked at the recent bids that were used to make your determination of the square foot reimbursement, were areas like Somerset included as far as bids, or was it just the...
I'm going to have to let Joan answer that question.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Yeah.
We looked at what bids we had available, and we did say all along that we would come back as we got further down into the process to see if we could get a better handle on the cost.
Okay.
And we did have a conversation about this issue and our concern about the two things that that John just talked about. So we'll definitely revisit it all, and we had anticipated with their guarantee of getting the planning to us that we would be ready for the next round.
Yeah, it's a real concern. I understand completely the problem. We had a similar discussion earlier today, this morning, with Garrett and
right.
Allegheny, but they're getting bids from Pennsylvania and West Virginia are close by, but you're kind of at the end of the road there.
We are.
To get
We've even talked about the Tidewater area, but again, you're 2.5-3 hours away.
Yeah. All right. I don't have any more questions. You?
Well, they told me I asked about how to get to Deal Island Elementary School, which, by the way, one of the all-time, if you ever look on my Facebook, I've got right up there the kids singing thank you to the custodians.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a real unbelievable event. Anyway, I was told to cross the bridge, turn right, head south, and drive to the end of the world.
I finally made it down.
Yeah, that's the way you get to deal in Anne Arundel County also.
All right, thank you very much.
Next up, we have the Mother County, St. Mary's County. I see Delegate Ray has joined us, some of the folks from the county school system. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm from Somerset to St. Mary's. Similar directions.
You had a similar problem.
Just keep on going. My name is Scott Smith. I'm the superintendent of St. Mary's County Public Schools, and joining me today is our delegate Deb Ray. Also with me is Dr. Jeff Walker, who is the assistant superintendent of supporting services, Ms. Kimberly Howe, who is the director of capital planning, and Ms. Mary Hayden, capital planning project analyst. And so, good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, and Treasurer Cobb. I want to begin by thanking the Board of Public Works, the Interagency Committee on School Construction, and the Public School Construction Program for your continued support of our facilities. Our 2018 state CIP request includes two projects. They are Park Hall Elementary School roof and HVAC systemic renovation and sewer lift lift station project, and Hollywood Elementary School roof and HVAC systemic renovation and emergency power project. Each of these projects address the need to maintain existing infrastructure. While we track all of our building components for repair or replacement via the comprehensive maintenance plan, we additionally track work orders as a way to further document the need for projects and adjust the capital project schedule as necessary. We provided you with a handout of the details of this tracking and justification with regard to each of these requested projects. Each of these projects span two fiscal years of state funding. Our fiscal year 2018 state CIP request includes $415,000 for Park Hall Elementary School roof and HVAC systemic renovation and sewer lift station, for $400,000 for Hollywood Elementary School roof and HVAC systemic renovation and emergency power project. At this time, we've received a recommendation from the IAC for 100% of the requested funding for 2018. And so we thank you absolutely for that. We respectfully request that you approve this recommendation, and we're here to answer any questions you may have.
Well, I support the request. Don't have any questions, but I do want to give you a shout-out because the reports from the IAC note that you do a great job of maintaining your older schools and that you demonstrate both good planning and excellent maintenance. So I want to thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
These requests are very well justified. Any questions?
Are you going to prepare for the enrollment increase?
So we have about 190 students that came in this year, and we were forecasting about 160 students next year. The wonderful thing about the enrollment increases is that they have been spread across all grade levels, and so it's easier for us to absorb. But we're in very good stead, and we're happy to be growing the way we are.
Great. Thank you very much. Delegate Ray, anything you want to add? Or?
Yeah. I just want to say thank you for this. And when you come down, be sure to visit Spring Ridge Middle School.
Spring Ridge Middle School, yes.
And you will see how far they can stretch a dollar. They do a fantastic job.
Where is Spring Ridge Middle School?
Down by my house. It's the south of the base.
just
about 3 miles south.
Keep on going.
Yeah. Almost a ridge.
Go down, turn left to keep on going.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Next up, Washington County. From one end of the state to the other. I see Senator Serafini is here. Some representatives from the county school system. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Governor, with me today is Senator Serafini. Thank you for that introduction. Also, Dr. Boyd Michael. Dr. Michael is the deputy superintendent, and with him is Rob Rollins, who's our director of facilities. They weren't going to come up, but they decided some groups get kind of grilled for not having an entourage. We brought ours, so thank you. Thank you very much. Governor Hogan, Comptroller Francho, Treasurer Cobb, State Superintendent Salmon, thank you very much for having us here today. We're honored to be in front of you, our Board of Education, our county commissioners, and most importantly, the students of Washington County respectfully request your consideration of our WCPS appeal for additional funding to support capital improvement program, our CIP program for 2018. But most importantly, we want to say thank you for your past support. We want to thank the governor for spending time in Hagerstown helping to support some of the initiatives that we have going on there, helping to actually revitalize the city of Hagerstown. We want to thank the comptroller for his continued support. He has been in our district so much that we have a parking space reserved for some of our newer facilities. We want to thank you very much for that. You are the only comptroller that I know where students actually stood up and cheered for you and saying, you know, it was a little actually embarrassing because I thought they were going to stand and cheer for the superintendent, but instead they kept saying, Francho.
They must have made a mistake.
It was a little bit scary.
That is not scary.
I will also say thank you. Yeah, I know, it really is. He was handing out medallions right and left.
Yeah. So. I usually get some pins.
Treasurer, thank you for your wise counsel and advice. Every time we come down for a legislative day, we stop by. She makes time for us and actually talks to us about innovative ways to fund our programs in our schools. So I would simply like to say to each of you, thank you very, very much for all that you do. What we're asking for is just the full funding of two projects. In fact, I would say to you, this is the lowest request that we've made in the last 10 years. I think it's primarily because we are doing a very good job of taking care of our facilities. Two gentlemen behind me from the school district have designed a program to maintain our facilities in a way that I think is exemplary. I believe most recently we had a 92.45 composite rating for our control of our facilities, which I believe is the third highest ranking in the state. So we're very proud of what we do. We take care of the resources that you've bestowed upon us and that our community has supported over years. We're asking for $700,000 to fully fund our Fountaindale Elementary School HVAC program. We're also asking at Northern Middle School for an electrical switchgear replacement. That appeals for $146,000, which brings our total request to this board to $846,000 in full funding our projects. And again, we want to say thank you very much. We think in Washington County we're doing a great job on behalf of our kids. We're doing a great job on behalf of our taxpayers, our community, and we stand ready to answer any questions that you have about the things that we're trying to do.
Well, thank you, Dr. Wilcox. And you know, I just want to congratulate you for all of your great work on behalf of Washington County, and congratulate you, reluctantly congratulate you on your new appointment as superintendent of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. It's going to be a big loss for Washington County and for the state of Maryland, but I want to congratulate. I actually have a niece who's a teacher in your new system, and eight family members that go to school in your new system, so I know they're going to be in good hands.
Thank you.
You know, by all accounts, your team has done an outstanding job on maintenance. Your reports consistently show that you're giving considerable attention to maintaining facilities. Your staff works really collaboratively to ensure that all the support is given. And I just want to congratulate you and thank you for everything you've done there. I see the former senator from Washington County is also here to lobby on your behalf, which I don't think he should be doing because he's a senior member of my team, but I see him staring at me in the back of the room.
Yeah.
But we appreciated working with your team, and of course, we've just committed $7 million to the revitalization of downtown Hagerstown, which includes enhancing educational opportunities in the city's core, and I want to thank you for your outstanding leadership in that regard as well, and I wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you very much, and you know, Senator Schenck, I know he has.
We still call him Senator.
Well, thank you. He's been a constant source of inspiration to us. He calls on a regular basis to make sure that we know what's going on in the state. He was gracious enough to perhaps forward my name to you to be on the Longitudinal Data Service Board. I want to thank you for that appointment. It's reluctantly that I had to offer my resignation this week, going forward and decline the opportunity to go forward. But I also want to say that Senator Serafini has been really an inspiration to all of us. The way that he has talked to us about fiscal responsibility, the way he's talked to us about making sure that we don't ignore the structural deficits we have, for example, in some of our funds like OPEB, have really been meaningful to the district. And quite honestly, I think behind the scenes, most of you should know that Senator Serafini has been a tremendous champion for this innovative new partnership that we have for the classroom space that, Governor, you came down to support. I think we may be the first school district in the state of Maryland that's actually working with the University System of Maryland. We're working with the Maryland Theater. We're working with a number of other agencies to build a new school facility for our kids. This facility will serve over 300 kids. at a cost to the school district of only $4 million.
Right.
I think it's tremendous when you take a look at this. And so we want to say thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And I agree with Senator Serafini. Not only did he give you really great fiscal advice, but he's doing the same thing with his fellow senators. And we appreciate that. He's the fiscal watchdog down there. And
thank you.
Great guy to have on our team. Do you want to say anything, Senator, or anybody else that want to make any comments? Or
I'll try to be quick. So thank you for recognizing Dr. Wilcox. I have to say it's a sad loss for us in a tremendous way. He's been on the
21st. That's a little bit bigger school system, though. It's hard to compete.
It is. It actually is. And a little warmer climate sometimes of the year, too. But it's been, you know, it's been tremendous to work with him. It's been tremendous to try to be a leader in innovation. I appreciate that Dr. Smith earlier mentioned some things that we've done and that they want to look at in Montgomery County, which I'm excited for, too. I have to say Dr. Michael is back here. You know, the maintenance that we have in our program is because of him. We put air conditioning in 20 years ago because we saw the problem well ahead, and we worked with our people in our community. I was amazed that we had schools that were built for Florida, I thought, not for Western Maryland. We'd have to go outside when it was cold, and when it was hot, it was really hot. So I'm thankful that we've done a good job of maintaining the properties. I just want to say their ask this year is under $1 million. We've been in the $8 to $10 million in previous years. So when people say, gee, how can we come and ask you all for your help downtown, $7 million is still going to be under what our historical ask has been. So we're trying to be as efficient as possible.
That's because of your fiscal responsibility.
That's
right.
Exactly right. That's not mine. It's the people behind me. So I just want to say, we're losing a great man, but he has brought so much to our community, and
yeah.
I'm glad that you recognize him because it means so much to us in our community.
Thank you very much,
Senator.
Thank
you for your coordination.
Thank the whole team. Appreciate it very much.
I wanted to thank Dr. Wilcox because, you know, I've been here 6 hours, and you're whatever number next to last, and it's very clearly the best presentation, and I want to thank you for saying that. And Senator Serafini, you say some more nice things about me, Dr. Wilcox, put another million on there because I see Senator Shank back there. And
we'll take it out of Shank's salary.
Yeah. Yeah. But seriously, I did have one question about Western Heights Middle. Are you planning to fix that roof over there with your own county money, or are you going to put in a request to fix the roof?
I'm going to defer to Dr. Michael as to what our plan is at Western Heights.
This is both the 15 and 16 maintenance reports. I think
said that
the roof was
a problem. Yes, in our out years, we're continuing to maintain our roof there at Western Heights. In our out years, we have a renovation scheduled for Western Heights, and we'll take care of a massive renovation when we do that on the roof as well.
Great. And just to correct the record, the kids that were singing thank you to the custodians that I have up on my website is Clear Spring Elementary. I apologize. The Deal Elementary kids had something else going on.
And you said I thought maybe it happened in two counties.
It was you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you all.
Could I just add my thanks to you for all that you have done here? We will miss you significantly in Maryland. My recollection is my county many years ago stole the superintendent from Charlotte Mecklenburg. Maybe
you're getting back at us.
Yeah, but it's tough. Tough to see you go. I also went with my family a couple months ago to Bester Elementary just to see what was happening. And you guys did a terrific job out there. I congratulate you. It should be a model for the state.
Thank you. One of the things about Bester is it's aligned with what's called the Community of Hope. And what we have are a number of social agencies that are helping our kids in that school and helping the larger community. The San Mar Children's Home has embraced that school, so our young people there get everything from, you know, the breakfast is provided through our Fresh Start breakfast program, but all the way through some of the medical services that their families can't afford for them. They get extra support in terms of their educational outcomes as well. We're very pleased. The principal there, Chrissy Bechtel, I would say that name wrong, Bechtel, is an outstanding educational leader. They were just written up in one of the national foundations for a model for how schools can wrap their arms around kids. Just one point of personal privilege, if I may. I will tell you that it's wonderful as you get to leave an organization, that the accolades that you get, but quite honestly, I stand on the shoulders of giants. Betty Morgan, who was the National Superintendent of the Year, was the superintendent who really set me up for success. Then I have great team members like Dr. Michael, like Rob and others. Quite honestly, oftentimes superintendents get a lot of accolades for the success of the system when it really is the people who lead them. You're going to meet in just a moment Donna Hanlon, who is the new superintendent at Wacomico. She was the chief academic officer in Washington County prior to my coming, and she served with me for several years. And our support and our success academically is largely at the hands of her. So I want to thank all of those people who have gone before me. And I will tell you that many of you know that I was a superintendent in Louisiana. I was a superintendent in Florida. I went to New York City and worked at Scholastic. But I'm a better superintendent today for having been in Maryland. So thank you very much for all that you've all done for me and made me a better person and a better man. Thank you all.
Thank you, Dr. Wilcox. Last but certainly not least, it's the problem of having a W before your county, but Wicomico County is up next. I see a good delegate. Delegate Carl Anderton is here as well as leaders from the county school system. Good afternoon.
Difficult act to follow, but you are correct. Last but not least, good afternoon, Governor Hogan, Treasurer Kopp, and Comptroller Francho. My name is Donna Hanlon, and I am the new superintendent in Wicomico County as of July 1, originally from Salisbury, and very glad to be home. So thank you very much. With us, I have our Director of Facilities and Planning, or our Director of Planning and Construction, I should say, Lisa Lashby. I have Kathy Townsend, Dr. Kathy Townsend, who's our Assistant Superintendent for Administrative Services. I have Matt Aukey, who is our facilities planner, and definitely, again, last but not least, Delegate Carl Anderton, who is a huge support to our school system. So, in front of you, you have our specific capital project requirements for FY 2018 and supporting project profiles for your consideration. We are very proud to note that Pittsville Elementary and Middle School received a superior maintenance rating, inspection rating in 2017, and we'd also like to thank Comptroller Francho for the recent Silver Hammer Award to Northwestern Elementary School. We believe that both of these recognitions are significant, are a reflection of our judicious ability or our ability or our desire to make sure that our students and staff and community members have facilities that are safe and are clean and are equipped for learning every day. Wicomico County prioritizes our capital needs based upon an established FQI, our Facilities Quality Index, which provides an overall quality score for each of our buildings. And these data also provide our community with a quick, easy-to-understand concept or understanding regarding the current condition and program needs of each of our individual buildings. We're pleased to share that all of our projects that we're here discussing today are currently in our county executive's proposed FY 2018 CIP. Of greatest importance is our Priority 1 request, that is construction funding for the West Salisbury Elementary School project so that we can continue construction in FY 2018 and we can open that new building in the fall of 2018 for the 2018-19 school year. We have discussed with the IAC the importance of funding this project within two fiscal years versus three. We're working diligently towards the necessary fast-track construction efforts and anticipate achieving LEED Silver certification. We were able to avoid escalation costs by maintaining the project's very tight design schedule and received favorable bids within the overall project budget. The West Salisbury community is extremely excited for the replacement building moving forward in the future. Even before I was appointed, I came for the groundbreaking before school, on the last day of school, actually, and it was so heartwarming to see all of those students with shovels in their hands. They're so excited in that community for a new school. Our next item is Priority 3 funding request for the above ceiling system requirements at Parkside High School.
This is integral to our priority 2 HVAC project at Parkside, which has been fully funded. This project was originally proposed as a limited renovation, but due to funding constraints has been restructured as 2 systemic projects to address the 1974 mechanical equipment and associated systems. Our next request is a priority 4, which is the partial roof replacement at Wicomico Middle School. This building's original construction dates back to 1931. The applicable roofing areas are 23 to 24 years old and are part of our roof refurbishment plan. We had to replace a small roof area this past summer due to failure as part of the HVAC renovation, and we're really anxious to complete the remainder of this project. Much needed work. And our final request is our priority 5 project, which is initial construction funding for a limited renovation to Delmar Elementary School. This project has already received planning approval and schematic design approval. It will address several building systems, including HVAC, ceilings, and lighting, to name a few, plus a new elevator to serve the second floor. Architectural improvements include upgrades to the cafeteria and gymnasium, as well as enclosing existing open space classroom areas. We appreciate the continued support of the Board of Public Works as we strive to address the ongoing needs in our capital improvement program. Thank you so much for your time and your consideration and for allowing us to share with you these critical funding requests here today.
Thank you very much.
Happy to answer your question.
How about Delegate Anderton? Do you have any comments or anything sure. You want to say before we start drilling with questions?
No. Madam Treasurer, Mr. Comptroller, Mr. Governor, you know, first off, let me say I appreciate how often you guys come to the shore. You know, we do have that historical sense of feeling deficient, but we don't feel that anymore, and it's great. You know, and I personally have seen you in Crisfield several times, and that's always good. You know, down on the lower end of our
state. I've actually seen you in bars in Crisfield.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Absolutely. So, but
discussing school funding.
Discussing school, absolutely, and very the very nuanced nature of that. Absolutely. But no, we're blessed. I'm blessed to be here to represent Wicomico County. This is the joy of my life to be in this position, and so you know, I'm grateful to everything that you guys do for us. You know, you always come through for us in the end, and I rest comfortably knowing that. And so I have no doubt in my mind, you know, the number one project being West Salisbury, that school, that new construction will be a centerpiece for that community. It'll be a community center aside from a school. And so, you know, I know that we'll be very, very confident. I think we can leave smiling knowing that we'll be okay there. And, you know, so.
I think you might be okay.
I'm just grateful. And I like hearing that. So.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yesterday I said, boy, what a nice guy that Delegate Anderton is. And the response was, yeah, I'd kind of like to go have a beer with him someday.
He's fun to have a beer with.
Yeah. But I do have a question about the bids that you mentioned, Madam Superintendent, that for the West Salisbury Elementary replacement. Are those coming in, do you think, down in Wicomico County, anywhere in that 6% savings range that is being pegged for 2018?
6%. I'm sorry, what are you referring to?
In other words, there's a 6% drop in construction estimates per mm-hmm. square foot, which is great because that means we can build more with less. But some jurisdictions like yours, I think, would indicate that the competitive bids are not coming in as low as that.
That would
be
correct. Similar to what Somerset is experiencing, we had to make some tough value engineering decisions around the construction document phase because the CD estimate was revised to reflect the fluctuation we were receiving specifically to the shore. Several million dollars worth of work had bid in the area, some which wound up getting canceled. thankfully, within a few months of that, when we did go out on the street with the subcontractor bids, they came in within our budget, but again, still higher than I think some of the Western Shore counties have been experiencing thus far.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
all very much. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
We appreciate
you
being here.
We'll see you in Salisbury next month. Governor Hogan and Tom Fuller.
We'll be there.
Yes.
What's that?
You'll just need to vote on item 14 before you close the meeting up.
I got
to
do what?
Vote on the item 14. I just want to remind you before you close the meeting up.
I'm not closing the meeting yet. Not at all. We're just getting started. But I want to thank all the superintendents. I guess they're all gone now, but thank them for joining us. I'd like to make a motion before we go with the final motion on item 14, actually. We had this discussion with Howard County earlier, similar conversation what we had last year with respect to this mold issue, and the Howard County government leaders and the Howard County Board of Education both have serious concerns and problems. I understand that there's a report that you guys are finalizing that we're about to see. There was a discussion today, which I wasn't pleased with the answers on, but I asked about the $9.6 million of this seems to be related to the mold remediation issue, which the superintendent seemed to say there wasn't a mold problem ever, which is the same thing she said last year. County government disagrees. The County Board of Education disagrees. So I'm going to recommend that we pull the $9.6 million request specifically related to these issues out of the request until we have a chance to review the report that you guys are working on and we can really assess what's going on with this mold issue. Is there a second?
Second.
It looks like the superintendent.
No, I just wanted to ask the governor. I am assuming we have a report from them that we've requested.
Okay.
So that's what I'm hoping to find when we go back. And I think Joan has said there is some kind of a report. So,
as soon as we can be satisfied,
we'll get you
on
some kind of information.
We've actually had discussions from the leaders
right.
in the local level who are very concerned about the issue.
Right.
And they do not want to let it go unresolved. So,
we'll get you whatever we can
before
find.
Before I make a motion on the whole rest of the package, I want to withhold $9.6 million from Howard County's request until we can get a chance to review this issue. It could be in our next meeting in 2 weeks, or it could never happen.
As soon as possible,
we'll
get it to you.
All right.
Governor, I would not normally agree with this because it's holding up money for school construction that is needed, but if the superintendent does have some information that she wants to look at and come back to us within the next couple
Absolutely.
Of weeks, I think
yes.
that's an appropriate.
It'll be sooner than that.
Right. Okay, so it's been motioned and seconded, and the vote is 3-0 to temporarily withhold this money until we resolve that issue. And then I'd also, is there a motion on the remaining issues with respect
approval.
To the preliminary capital improvement plan?
Favorable.
3-0. Are we done now, Madam Secretary? Now can I say it? Thank you very much for coming. It was a great day.